We have had the technology to create, control, and steer hurricanes for decades.
Project Cirrus is the first official attempt to modify a hurricane. It was run by General Electric with the support of the U.S. military. The official theory was that by changing the temperature outside the eye wall of a hurricane, which they did by seeding the clouds with various compounds such as silver iodide, a decrease in strong winds will result. On October 13, 1947, Project Cirrus targeted a hurricane heading out to sea. Approximately 180 pounds of dry ice was dropped into the clouds. The crew then reported a pronounced modification of the cloud deck, and the hurricane abruptly changed direction and made landfall near Savannah, Georgia. The public blamed the government. Irving Langmuir, who pioneered General Electric's Atmospheric Research Department and admitted that the project was about learning how to weaponize the weather, also claimed the reversal of the hurricane had been caused by Project Cirrus. But the government denied it for 12 years. After a short delay, the project officially continued, and in 1965, Project Storm Fury had targeted Hurricane Betsy for seeding. On that day, the storm immediately changed direction and made landfall in southern Florida. Congress blamed it on Project Storm Fury, but the government claimed that the hurricane shifted before they ever had a chance to seed it. And after 2 months of congressional hearings, the project was allowed to continue.
In 1997, U.S. Defense Secretary William Cohen admitted we have the technology to control the weather, including earthquakes and volcanoes. The U.S. government has placed gag orders on employees of the National Weather Service. In October of 2012, after Hurricane Sandy weakened to a tropical storm, microwave imagery shows a thick red beam immediately followed by Sandy growing into a Category 1 hurricane and taking an unexplained left turn into New Jersey. The push towards alternative energy demands more lithium, and according to the U.S. Geological Survey, the United States has over 6 million tons of identified lithium resources. The majority of this lithium has been identified in Kings Mountain, North Carolina. Kings Mountain is believed to have one of the largest resources in the world, but the biggest problem is that people live there and they don't want their quiet towns turned into lithium mines.
People in Schererville have been pushing against a proposed lithium mine for the last several years, but everyone we spoke with here said it's too divisive of an issue to share their opinion on camera. Schererville is a small, quiet town.
I think that's good that we keep it small.
So quiet, many don't feel comfortable speaking out against Piedmont Lithium's proposed mining operation nearby.
I think we're a silent majority. I think a lot of people are afraid to say anything about it because they are bringing a lot to the town as far as money.
Last year, the Department of Defense entered a $90 million agreement with Albemarle Corporation to increase domestic production of lithium for the nation's battery supply chain, specifically from Kings Mountain, North Carolina, starting by 2025. This is the same area experiencing what is being described as biblical floods. While the federal government spends billions on foreign wars and illegal immigrants, they simply cannot be bothered with the health and well-being of the American people, especially those living on coveted mineral-rich land. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word of the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to DrJonesNaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and DrJonesNaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
It's Wednesday, October 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning, everyone. It is Maria Z checking in here, covering for Harrison Smith. Thank you all for joining us this morning on this historic day. And I say historic because every single day for the past 4 years, it seems, has been historic. Escalation upon escalation, leading us further and further into the Great Reset. You have industries being destroyed. You have the decimation of the education system, not in the way that Donald Trump says he's going to remodel the education system, but I mean a complete destruction of knowledge, a destruction of true education. You have a destruction of politics, bought and paid for puppets leading almost every single Western nation. You have a destruction of economies. You have a destruction of supply chains. And now we have the possibility of nuclear war, World War III, right on our doorstep. Times could not be any more serious. And as I've said, since I landed here in this beautiful country, this next election, I know we hear it all the time, but this really is the most important election in history. It will change the way that the world goes forever. If Donald Trump wins, we have a serious chance at winning back our sovereignty, and that will flow down to every single Western nation because he will set an example. He is a leader, unlike the current puppets that are in power. Power. I saw Australia's Prime Minister yesterday, Anthony Albanese, strongly condemning Iran. And my comment to him, first and foremost, apart from the fact that, you know, he doesn't issue the same condemnations for other nations, he'll condemn Russia, he'll condemn Iran, never condemn Ukraine, never condemn Israel, and it's clear who he's siding with. No one would take this person's condemnation seriously. He's an absolute joke. He is a failure. It's like Keir Starmer trying to get up and tell you why he's banning memes. These people are a complete joke. They don't have anyone's respect. They don't have the ability to lead. Imagine Kamala Harris, who can't even read, who can't even announce with confidence her response to what's just happened in the Middle East, has to nervously, like she's in a hostage situation, read off a piece of paper and very slowly and staccato, because maybe, I guess she can't even read properly. Imagine her going in there trying to negotiate peace between these very, very angry nations. It's not possible. It's not possible. She's not competent. No one respects her. Putin certainly wouldn't respect her. And the absolute backlash that these Democrats and these liberals give to Trump when he says something like, I have a good relationship with Putin. You nincompoops. You want him to have a good relationship with Xi. You want him to have a good relationship with Putin so that we don't get to this point where, nuclear war could happen tomorrow. Nobody respects these people. They have been placed there to demoralize the people. Chase and I were talking last night about Kamala, you know, advising people, you really don't have to sing the national anthem. Instead of saying, you should be proud to sing the national anthem. Okay, your First Amendment protects you if you don't want to, but we should be proud to be Americans. No, she's encouraging people not to sing it. Why? Because she's following the model, and the Biden administration and every single Western leader right now is following the model of destroying their own country, demoralizing their people. As Michael Yon says, these are dog kings that are there to make us hate ourselves and our nations. But the opposite is happening, ladies and gentlemen. Patriotism is rising. Communities are building. People are organizing. People are saying, we will not deal with this anymore. We want to be sovereign nations. We want to be proud of who we are. We are not ashamed of being white or whatever other nation is under attack. We're not ashamed of being, you know, Korean or Chinese or Indian or whatever the case may be. And every nation has the right to be proud of who they are, by the way. Except if you're white. Can't be proud of being white. Well, the opposite is occurring. The more that they slam labels on us, the more that they accuse us of being Nazis, homophobes, transphobes, anti-Semites, terrorist sympathizers, what else? Domestic terrorists, anti-vax conspiracy theorists, climate change deniers. I mean, whatever labels they throw on us, they're just backfiring in their faces day in and day out. And this is why they're accelerating so much. This agenda to control information, this is why the attack on InfoWars is so strong right now. This is why the attack on anyone who dares to speak freely is so strong right now. And I don't think Elon Musk is perfect, and I've had my fair share of criticisms about him and X alike. But imagine if we didn't have that platform right now. This is why they're trying to attack it so much. And don't get me wrong, people are creative, and humanity always comes up with a way, but their plan is to make it so that you cannot utilize the internet, which is vital in this war, to get vital information out to people without a digital ID and a social credit system. So today I want to talk a little bit about the recap on the debate. I want to talk about what's happening in the Middle East. I want to talk about the fact that I'm disgusted at how many people I saw on X yesterday that are currently in government in America tweeting about a foreign nation and their concern about it while there's people in North Carolina suffering. And we're going to talk about some U.S. news as well. And then later on in the broadcast, I'm going to take you through a shocking discovery that I've made, which I was actually going to cover yesterday on the fourth hour of Alex's show. But of course, these maniacs want to take us into nuclear war, so that was pushed back, and I understand that. They are very, very serious about destroying absolutely everything that we know, and so this is why this broadcast is so, so important, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to thank everyone for their support of InfoWars over the years. Please continue to support them. I know that they have impacted my life, and I know that people watching this would agree. It would be a very, very different world if InfoWars was not able to broadcast. So what Chase and I were discussing last night were some things that we thought would have been helpful for JD Vance to do, and it actually went a very different way. And I was watching this thinking, well, Vance is coming off, you know, very genuine. He's coming off, you know, he's being very polite to Tim. And I understand that that may have been a campaign strategy, because Trump is your bull. He goes out there, he hammers, he really, you know, highlights these grotesque issues that are occurring in the nation right now, like violent criminals and rapists coming into this country. And so perhaps Vance needed to be the balance of that. He needed to show the people in the middle, or even some people on the left who would not vote for Kamala normally for any other reason other than they just hate Trump. And so maybe Vance needed to be that balancing act. And I understand that. I do. But by the same token, what I witnessed was this sort of, it disarmed his approach to Tim Walz. For me, seemed like he disarmed the public, in how dangerous Walz really should appear. He seemed like a friendly guy, and, you know, all these niceties being exchanged between them made it seem like Walz is a reasonable, friendly guy, just incompetent, and that's just simply not the case. Whilst he is incompetent, he posts videos of himself changing an air filter when he's not really changing it, and whilst he continuously misspeaks and sounds like a fumbling idiot, and says that, oh, I'm a knucklehead, but really he's, you know, outright lying, whilst all of that is true, I think that him coming off as a fool, just like Kamala came off as a fool for a very long time, and then she's now in the race, and she's, people are seeing, this woman is dangerous. Tim Walz is dangerous. And I really wish that J.D. Vance highlighted that a little bit more last night. Although, again, as I say, I understand the strategy, if I'm right, was to be that balance. I think Tim Walz would have been a lot more off his game had J.D. Vance taken a little bit more of a strong approach. If he, for example, especially on the war issue, and we're going to play some clips of that, but especially on the war issue, really hammered the inability of this current administration and spoke about the disaster of the open border with the rapists and the actual murderers that are taking American lives on the streets. This is something, and we discussed this last night, and Alex has made this comment. He made it, I think, the day before yesterday, and he spoke about it in the post-debate, broadcast that they did last night, where he was saying they avoid these topics that they deem too dark because it's too much for the American people. No. I think that time is over. I really think that the American people need to hear about children being mauled on the street by these savages, murdered, and God knows what else being done to them. I think they need to know the savagery of the border, the actual humanitarian crisis at the border, which is that the Democrats are facilitating child sex trafficking, various forms of human trafficking. Just some light topics for 8 a.m., but here's the thing. The people that listen to this broadcast, they know that this is occurring and they want this to stop. And so the rest of the American people, and the reason why you're so passionate about where this country is going to go this election and you realize how important this election is going to be, is because you listen to InfoWars and you're informed. The American people, the rest of the public need to be just as informed. So I would have liked to have seen a little bit more about that. He could have hammered the issue of democracy. J.D. Vance had many, many opportunities there to hammer this issue of democracy. How is Kamala even the candidate right now? How is she even... no one voted for this woman. You want to preach to us about democracy? No one has voted for this woman. This was a coup. Perfect opportunity. And by the way, I think that Vance is talented enough to have said those words without seeming like he was, you know, outright attacking Walz. I think he had the opportunity there. He should have at least done that. I would have liked to have seen some of the madness addressed. Of course, Minnesota has... And Tim denied it. And of course, there was no fact-checking on Tim, but they did try to fact-check Vance at one point. And when he challenged them, they turned off his mic. But Tim's claiming, oh, no, we're not killing babies at whatever age. Yes, they do. Minnesota allows for killing babies at any stage of pregnancy. And the CCP stuff. There's a whistleblower report that the GOP just released about Tim Walz's ties to the CCP. Americans on either side of the aisle are concerned about CCP and foreign influence. You know, they're certainly concerned. The Democrats are constantly talking about Trump colluding with Russia, apparently, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard and been disproven time and time again. But they're happy to keep talking about that, even though it's a disproven lie, or a proven lie, I should say, a disproven theory. Why not bring up the CCP business? This is a proven collusion. But again, maybe that was too dark. Maybe Vance just needed to be the balancing act. And so, I don't know. I don't know, guys. I think that this man is dangerous. I think that, like I said, he came across as a fool, and he is a fool. But he's a dangerous fool. He's not harmless at all. And watching that debate last night, he seemed harmless. And there was a lot of respect between the two, and I appreciate that gentlemanly approach. But you were dealing with a very serious individual, and Tim Walz is a very serious individual. anyone who could support Kamala Harris cannot be treated as harmless. This woman is responsible for a coup against the president. This woman is responsible for hundreds of thousands of missing children that are probably being sex trafficked as we speak. This woman continuously lies, goes to the border after proudly announcing she's the border czar, then denying she's the border czar, doing nothing about this border for years on end, and then goes to the border this week for a photo op. And by the way, border security agents were there talking about the fact that she didn't actually talk to border security. She met with a couple of managers there that are happy to go along with the lie. Not really addressing the issues, and we all know that, but it helps to have the testimony of these border security agents. Anyone who supports this vile creature, Kamala Harris, which is what she is, cannot be treated as a harmless, fumbling fool. And while it's fun to do that and it's fun to make fun of him, and he really did screw up badly last night, we're going to play a couple of those clips. While it's fun, we should not underestimate these people. I'll never forget Tucker Carlson and Jason Whitlock watching Kamala Harris. I believe it was the DNC. And Tucker's saying, this woman, we should not be underestimating her. He says, I've dealt with prosecutors my whole life, never liked them, and I'm telling you, this woman's dangerous. And I think we should heed Tucker's advice. Well, on a lighter note, Tim Walz really did screw up last night, and most outlets, including CNN, are agreeing that J.D. Vance won that debate. And he won that debate because his composure was fantastic. He answered everything. He addressed everything. He even managed to squeeze in an address to the fact check, even though they cut him off, while Tim Walz said that he's friends with school shooters and that he's a knucklehead. So CNN, in clip one crew, if we can get that ready, CNN says that the reason why Tim Walz performed so badly is because of too much preparation.
I think there was a clear lack of preparation and execution here.
I think actually it's the opposite. I think he had too much preparation.
Maybe. Yeah.
He had so many lines that he was clearly trying to say.
Look at that flip. Not enough preparation. Oh, I think he had too much preparation. Maybe, yeah. Well, which one is it? What is your opinion? Is your opinion just the one that you are following on from the person that challenged you that said, make sure we don't make him look too stupid and unprepared? And I get a personal sense of satisfaction knowing that Tim Walz was preparing with Pete Buttigieg and still failed so miserably. So Pete must feel like a complete failure right now. Hopefully he does, because he is, and it'd be good if he knew it. But then we have the clip of Tim Walz in clip two. Basically, they're asking him, why are you lying? Not in those words, but that's what's being asked. And his explanation is that he's just a knucklehead. Let's take a look at that clip.
Governor Walz, you said you were in Hong Kong during the deadly Tiananmen Square protests in the spring of 1989. But Minnesota Public Radio and other media outlets are reporting that you actually didn't travel to Asia until August of that year. Can you explain that discrepancy?
Yeah, well, and to the folks out there who didn't get at the top of this, look, I grew up in small rural Nebraska, town of 400, town that you rode your bike with your buddies till the streetlights come on, and I'm proud of that service. I joined the National Guard at 17, worked on family farms, and then I used the GI Bill to become a teacher, passionate about it, a young teacher. My first year out, I got the opportunity in the summer of 89 to travel to China, 35 years ago, be able to do that. I came back home and then started a program to take young people there. We would take basketball teams, we would take baseball teams, we would take dancers, and we would go back and forth to China. The issue for that was to try and learn. Now, look, my community knows who I am. They saw where I was at. Look, I will be the first to tell you, I have poured my heart into my community. I've tried to do the best I can, but I've not been perfect, and I'm a knucklehead at times.
I mean, you didn't answer the question. You went on some sort of a long story trying to justify why you have this love for the CCP, essentially. That's what he was doing there. He was trying to make sure he gets that in just to smooth out any concerns that people might have that he's a Maoist. And then his excuse is that he's just a knucklehead. No, well, why did you lie? The question was, why did you lie? Why did you say this when that wasn't the truth? Oh, I'm just a knucklehead at times. The same way that he's preparing everyone beforehand, saying, I'm not very good at debating. Well, I'm just a knucklehead. Or I'm going to be the vice president of the country, and I just flat out lie to people because I'm just stupid. Oh, okay, so we can just have another 4 years of a stupid VP like Kamala Harris saying, oh, the cloud, and, you know, her stupid explanations for technology. She doesn't understand a damn thing. Are we just going to have another 4 years of a VP that's that stupid? I'm just a knucklehead. But also, he's friends with school shooters, clip 3.
So I've become friends with school shooters. I've seen it. Look, the NRA.
I've become friends with school shooters. It's not the win that you think it is, Tim. And of course, Trump, I didn't send the crew this picture, but Trump posted Trump Fans 24 and in asterisks under it, not friends with school shooters. He posted that on Truth Social. So, These are not misspeaks that you can actually afford during a vice presidential debate. This is indicative of a person who is simply a puppet, but a dangerous one. I want to keep reiterating that this man is not harmless. This is a man that has no problem lying, that when he's confronted about his lies, just defaults to pretending like he's harmless. And that is very, very serious. That is very, very serious. I want to play the moment that they did this fact check and shut J.D. Vance's mic off at the start of the debate. Now, this is what I said to Chase last night. I'm actually not sure if I said exactly this, but I don't think that they're going to be constantly fact checking and piling on J.D. Vance like they did with Trump. Definitely at the start, they tried to pile on a little bit, but you could see that they backed off, they eased off. And it was obviously because they were looking at the public's response on social media and everything. These people monitor that. But they said at the start, the rules of the debate are that the opponents get to fact check each other. And J.D. Vance, they went and they fact checked him with a fake fact check, by the way, which he did challenge. And then they switched off his mic. And it's like, well, hang on, you just broke the rules of this debate. You said these two can fact check each other. And I noticed on multiple occasions they were saying to Tim, Governor Walz, do you want to respond to this and cover this, this, this? What are you, feeding him his lines as well? Oh, you need to cover this as well. Let him think of what he needs to cover. A debate isn't about the moderators feeding you your lines and reminding you of things that you need to talk about because you're not capable of remembering them yourself. That's not what a debate is. So really, this wasn't a debate. Again, this was another 3-on-1, just less obvious this time around. So we're going to go into that clip after the break. Don't go anywhere. If you're watching this live, share this feed everywhere, because we are going to get into some very, very serious news coming up on the other side. Infowars.com/show or Infowars on X. We'll see you in a moment.
The ultimate turmeric and inflammatory support product on the market, Bodies, is available at the Infowars store. Using pure turmeric extract plus piperine from black pepper, Bodies makes for optimal formula absorption to help boost and support your flexibility, mobility, joint function, immune system, and so much more. Truly utilizing the therapeutic power of turmeric and its active constituents, Bodies contains over 95% of the active ingredients in turmeric. And with 5 other organic herbs and extracts, Bodies is a synergistic powerhouse of full body support. We worked hard to create a formula that takes advantage of the power of turmeric. Check out Bodies today at InfowarsStore.com and see what this time-tested ingredient can add to your daily routine.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
An InfoWars fan favorite is now back in stock after over a year of not being available. It is the vitamin C and zinc with rose hips. Now, this is a copy of Linus Pauling, who won the Nobel Prize for his findings on vitamin C's formula. It is 1,000 milligrams of organic vitamin C with zinc to take it into the cells and rose hips. He believed that supercharged it. This formula is amazing. We've not had it for over 12 months, and now it's available back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. It is simply incredible. What it does for your whole body, your immune system, is next level. So whether you're in super good health or not in good health, everybody benefits from this formula. It's back in stock, discounted at InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamin C and zinc with rose hips at InfoWarsStore.com. And it funds the operation. So that's a win-win. Get your vitamin C with zinc, the Linus Pauling formula, at InfoWarsStore.com.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching the American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. We are continuing our analysis of the debate last night and how dangerous Tim Walz and Kamala Harris really are. And I wanted to just bring up this. We were talking about this before the break, about this the whistleblower revealing information on Governor Walz's ties to the CCP. This was the Oversight Committee. Today, House Committee on Oversight and Accountability Chairman James Comer issued a subpoena to Department of Homeland Security, DHS, I'll put it down for the team, Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas for intelligence reports, documents and communications in its possession related to Governor Timothy Walz's connection to the Chinese Communist Party. According to recently reviewed whistleblower disclosures, the committee has learned of a non-classified Microsoft Teams group chat among DHS employees and additional intelligence reports that contain information regarding Governor Walz's connections to the CCP. I'm not going to go through this entire thing, but this has been a government-wide investigation of federal agencies and how they're addressing the CCP's infiltration. In August, Chairman Comer launched an investigation into Governor Walz following reports detailing the governor's long-standing connections to CCP entities and officials. This is no small thing, ladies and gentlemen. We just actually had over the waters in Australia, they said, oh, we identified that someone in our government has actually been working as a foreign spy for some time, but, you know, we can't let people know because it would be damaging to the nation for people to know. You've got to be having a laugh right now. If someone is operating in the interests of a foreign nation or working with a hostile government like the Chinese Communist Party, you better want to know about it. That person has no business being in government, let alone being in the vice presidential race. And let me remind everyone, the vice president, if something was to happen to the vice president is the person that essentially steps up. This person becomes the president, like Kamala's pretending to be right now because Joe Biden's incapacitated. They made sure to give her a period where she gets to pretend to be a leader before the election to really position her as the leader of the free world while she takes photo ops looking down like this on Air Force Two. And she's thinking really hard. And Chase said, apparently, Chase Geiser said he's zoomed in and she was drawing squiggles, which I'm not surprised about. But this person is next in line to be president should something happen. There she is, drawing squiggles. This is the person that takes over if something happens to the president. So this is very important if someone that has ties to the CCP but just pretends, oh, I'm just a knucklehead. It's pretty important that we know about that stuff and deem this person not suitable while they're in the race. And that's exactly what's happened, but of course they didn't ask about that. I was surprised that they even challenged him on the Tiananmen Square thing, but, you know, these links to the CCP are a little bit more damning than one story he got mixed up. So which one are they going to go with? They're going to go with the one that has less impact. And of course image six, Tim Walz supporting an assault weapons ban. Crew, if you can bring up that image. This is from some time ago. The Minnesota Star Tribune says, and after listening hard to Minnesotans, I support an assault weapons ban. That's from 2018 from Tim Walz. And we also have Kamala Harris supporting a total handgun ban when she was San Francisco DA. This is October 2nd, InfoWars reporting. Harris also repeatedly advocated for a mandatory buyback program for assault weapons during her short-lived presidential campaign in 2019. Vice President Kamala Harris once supported a total handgun ban in San Francisco during her tenure as district attorney in 2005. And look at how these people are just chameleons. You know, she says, oh, Governor Walz and I both have guns. We support guns. Okay, so you previously supported a handgun ban. What happened to your support of guns? Okay, you've changed your mind. The fact that she flip-flops on this constantly is a concern. I support that people may change their mind, but then their mind has to be changed consistently. There needs to be consistency. For example, you know, people have criticized J.D. Vance for being a previous Never Trumper. He has addressed that, and then his record post that point where he changed his mind on Trump has been consistent. Kamala Harris's record has not been consistent because in one breath she supports handgun bans, in the next breath she supports the Second Amendment. In the next breath she wants to ban assault weapons. In the next breath she owns guns herself. Which one is it, Commie Kamala? We're going to go to clip four, J.D. Vance being fact-checked, because I think it's really important to highlight the fact that they did this to him. This was an ABC move. They said that the people debating are responsible for these fact checks, not the moderators, and yet they did it to him anyway.
Thank you, Governor. And just to clarify for our viewers, Springfield, Ohio does have a large number of Haitian migrants who have legal status. Sure. temporary protected status.
Well, Margaret, but
thank you, Senator. We have so much to get to.
Margaret, I think it's important
we're
because
we're going to turn out of the economy. Debate, thank
Margaret,
you.
Margaret, the rules were that the you economy, guys weren't going to fact check, and since you're fact checking me, I think it's important to say what's actually going on. So there's an application called the CBP One app, where you can go on as an illegal migrant, apply for asylum,
we'll
or apply
cut it there
for
because
parole,
he goes on to explain this, and you know they end up cutting his mic. Essentially, is what happens. So Kamala Harris' team actually retweeted that and said, oh, the rules were that you wouldn't fact check. Like, it's like she should be proud of the fact that the moderators are fact checking him. And mind you, that fact check was also unnecessary because at no point have they said that it's only illegals that are a problem in Springfield, Ohio. They're talking about Haitians eating pets, which is happening. And we have residents testifying to that. And we have people videoing all of this sort of stuff. And highlighting an issue is not, there's nothing wrong with highlighting a serious problem in your community. That's how you address things. That's how you move forward. That's how you fix things. We also had, and I'm going to try and get through this quickly because we have so much to get through today. We have Tim Walz said that he's not the owner of Facebook. Like, that was some sort of a win, and he posted that. As in, you know, he's not in control of Facebook. But in picture 5, we actually have Facebook admitting to the Harris-Biden censorship regime. And J.D. Vance went really, really hard on the censorship issue at the end, and I'm glad that he made that such a priority. Chase and I were discussing that last night, how censorship is actually an issue for the right and for the left. This is something that even leftists feel like they're being censored. They realize that there's a problem with censorship. Now, often it's misplaced. And as I said to this lefty the other day, was saying, I'm so censored on X. He had 860,000+ views on that post. I'm lucky if I crack 4,500 half the time. And I had more followers than him. I hate that word, but more people on my page than he did. 800,000+ views. I'm so censored. But my point is that the left understands that censorship is occurring. They just don't understand that it's coming from the left themselves. And so this is an issue for everyone. And I'm really glad that J.D. Vance made that point, that he said that both parties should not be in favor of censorship, in fact, should be making sure that Americans aren't being censored. And Tim Walz, of course, at that point, you know, spoke about the misinformation tried to dance around this when he has expressly said that misinformation is not a First Amendment protection. And again, we go to that argument of, well, who, first of all, yes, it is. People have the right, whether we like it or not, they actually have the right to lie. So it's a God-given right. If you want to lie, you have the right. But not only that, who defines the misinformation? Who defines the misinformation? The regime that's in control defines the misinformation. Now, you all understand that. I don't need to keep going on about it, but that was an important point that J.D. Vance made because it is an issue that everyone recognizes, whether we think the left does or not. They don't understand where it comes from, but they know it's happening. They know it's happening. And then, of course, you have Iran, clip 7, the topic of Iran and who has actually been VP. Let's air clip 7, team.
But I think that's something that Governor Walz just said is quite extraordinary. You yourself just said Iran is as close to a nuclear weapon today as they have ever been. And Governor Walz, you blame Donald Trump, who has been the vice president for the last 3.5 years. And the answer is your running mate, not mine. Donald Trump consistently made the world more secure.
Absolute perfect takedown. Who has been in office for the past 3.5 years while these escalations have occurred? Your running mate, not mine. And Trump has a brilliant record on bringing peace. He does. It's because people respect him, whereas Biden and Kamala have no respect from the global community. And so I thought that that was fantastic. And again, I think he could have driven that home, that point home harder a few different, on a few different occasions. He did. He said, you know, she can make changes right now. When we talk about, if I'm not mistaken, he was addressing the difficulty that so many Americans are living with right now with the cost of living and so on and so forth. Wages being down, immigrants coming in at record low wages, you know, and he was saying that she has the ability to fix these things right now. Don't wait until you're president. Show us now. You're essentially standing in for Joe Biden. I don't know, maybe she's answering to Jill. But nonetheless, you could do things now. You could introduce things now. You could be doing something now. Like if this situation was genuine, if there wasn't a coup and Kamala Harris was just genuinely, you know, filling in now and she was really wanting to be president, a genuine person would say, well, let me demonstrate to the American people that I can. And I will. I mean what I say. Okay, I didn't have the ability to yesterday, but today I can. But there's nothing. There's no effort whatsoever by Kamala to make any change. It's just a lie after lie after lie. The other thing that I was very disappointed with was the first question out the gates, which, by the way, I understand is important in the sense that we have a conflict happening in the Middle East, which is going to impact the whole world. But they didn't ask it for that reason. They didn't ask it because of, what's going to happen to fuel prices? What's going to happen to supply chains? What's going to happen to our safety if this continues to escalate in the Middle East? They asked it for, what's going to happen to Israel? Now, I don't know where you stand on this. I don't really care in terms of, I am shocked that right now Americans are in a serious crisis. You have people in North Carolina who are saying people have gone mad. They've started looting. It's like a war zone. We don't have food. We don't have water. We don't have resources. Joe Biden says, we're not giving them any more help. They don't need any more help. And our first question in the vice presidential debate, apart from all of the other problems that Americans are facing right now, the port strike as well, I mean, all of this matters. Apart from all of that, we're going to bring up the fate of Israel, a foreign nation. You know, when you're on an airplane and you're looking at what you're listening to the training, what to do in the event of an emergency. And they say to you, do not put an oxygen mask on the person next to you until you've put one on yourself. Why is that? Because you generally can't help others effectively unless you help yourself first. You need to make sure that you can breathe first before you help others. Well, that's the situation America's in right now. And by the way, clip 15, Netanyahu is talking to Iran. But let me ask you, Americans, when you're listening to him, don't you feel like he's talking to the U.S.? Let's play that clip.
If it did care, if it cared about you, it would stop wasting billions of dollars on futile wars across the Middle East. It would start improving your lives. Imagine if all the vast money the regime wasted on nuclear weapons and foreign wars were invested in your children's education and improving your health care, in building your nation's infrastructure, water, sewage, all the other things that you need. Imagine that.
Imagine that. That is Netanyahu talking to Iran, saying, imagine if your government did all these things for you. Imagine if your government actually used your taxes to invest in your people, to have better education, to have clean water, sewage that works. I don't know, maybe deal with a natural disaster so that people don't have to be looting. Imagine if your government responded to what happened in Lahaina with more than $700 for people while they sent billions to Ukraine. Imagine if your government cared about the people in North Carolina rather than funding Israel's war. Thank you, Netanyahu, for that. Everyone really appreciates you being so honest to the American people. I hope that's how people are reading it anyway. Because I'm just outraged at seeing these governors and people in power yesterday just tweeting incessantly about a foreign nation when there is an actual crisis in this country right now. And so far, Donald Trump has been the only one to really step up and say, you know what, we're gonna raise money for these victims. He raised over $1 million on the ground. Let's get them food. Let's get them what they need. He's not president right now, and he's behaving more like the president than the president or the vice president. His number one priority has been actual action, not just words. Actual action to help the people in this nation who Biden and the current administration, which includes Kamala Harris, aren't interested in while they continue to send billions of your hard-earned tax dollars to Ukraine and to Israel. This is absolutely outrageous. Again, you know, they keep saying Israel is America's greatest ally. I don't understand why. I don't know what Israel actually does for the US. Maybe I'm missing something here. And maybe it's absolutely true. You can't help another person until your own oxygen mask is on. And the sentiment that I'm seeing from Americans all over social media is that they're saying, I don't care about foreign wars. I don't want to keep hearing about other nations and their sovereignty when our sovereignty is being trampled on every single moment. I don't want to hear about how we're going to fund Netanyahu's Greater Israel project. I don't want to be part of that. Let him go and fund it himself. We need to worry about our people first. And that really should have been the message from at least one of these candidates. I think JD answered it better than Tim Walz. And of course, they ask that first question as a sort of throwaway, and it gives the candidates an opportunity to say something unrelated. But, you know, to sit here and open up a VP debate on another nation when your own country is in crisis, it blew my mind. We have Israelis leaving shelters after Iranian attack of 180 ballistic missiles. IDF says that they're preparing to hit back. Iran says its action is concluded unless the Israeli regime decides to invite further retaliation. But Netanyahu says Iran made a big mistake tonight and will pay for it. Common estimates show the attack on Israel involved at least 180 ballistic missiles. The Pentagon says about 200, or twice the size of the prior April attack. The waves of launches constituted the largest missile strike on Israel by Iran in history. And the IRGC is claiming that 90% of missiles successfully hit their targets in Israel. It's really interesting that Sky News, who has, I've never seen air one single criticism of Israel. And by the way, you know, I think that that's very alarming. Like, for example, I have been extremely critical of Ukraine since the, you know, Ukraine-Russia situation. And equally, I've been critical of Russia where it's called for. This is what you're supposed to do. Media is supposed to hold people accountable and criticize them where criticism is due. I've never, ever once seen Sky News be critical of Israel, although I might have missed it. But they basically had someone on talking about how, oh, Israel, barely felt the attack. What are they saying here? They're saying Israel barely felt the attacks. They didn't even hurt Israel. And then you have the IRGC claiming that 90% of missiles successfully hit their targets. It's like they're trying to say, oh, Israel's so strong. Well, by all means, you know, if that's the case, then they don't need anyone's help and they can stop taking billions of dollars of other people's tax dollars for a war that they want. Tucker Carlson, by the way, has said, and I don't know if that's, yes, I do have it on my list, number 17, Tucker Carlson has commented on this nonsense, essentially, that's flying around, that Iran is trying to take out Trump. He says that Iran's trying to assassinate Trump is deranged says the country poses no threat to America. Anyone who's repeating this line about Iran is a liar. Realistically, Iran does not want a hot war with the United States and has tried to avoid one for the last year. It is one of the most sinister lies out there. Very interesting commentary from Tucker there. Alex has said the same, that Trump has essentially bought this. Whoever's telling him around him, you know, Lindsey Graham just can't wait to go to war with Iran. And, you know, there have been a lot of people, including Netanyahu, who have wanted to go to Iran for quite some time. And, of course, the military-industrial complex loves this. And the people that are cheering on for Israel's destruction, I commented that I'm very, very disgusted by this as well, because you don't know what you're cheering. War is not a sports match. We're not sitting here, you know, who can kill more people, for goodness sake. That's what you're cheering. There are innocent civilians, and the war criminals always go free. Innocent civilians suffer. There are people who don't want this. There are people in every country who do not want war. These people play chess with human life. And Lindsey Graham sees this as, you know, some sort of a sports match, I guess. These people are playing chess with human lives that really just want to, just like you and me, and not all of them are well-intentioned. Not everyone, you know, in every country is well-intentioned. But for the most part, the people that suffer are people just like you and me who want to have families, who want to have children, who want to live their lives, worship God, do whatever they want to do. Most people are not wanting war. And so what Tucker has said is very interesting. Iran does not want a hot war with the US. They couldn't survive it. They could not survive it. They want to be some sort of superpower, but you're going to get wiped out pretty quick if you go to war with an actual superpower. They don't want that. However, we have to consider these 9 surface-to-air missiles that came across the border that were intended for President Trump, that were Iranian of origin. Who's been working with who to bring these missiles in? It takes an incredibly coordinated effort to get something like that into the United States. Who has been working with who to get that in? All very, very serious, ladies and gentlemen. The number one thing that we need is no war. We need a promise for no war. Donald Trump has said that he will end the wars, and I believe that this is why we are seeing such phenomenal, and I don't mean that in a good way, escalations right now ahead of the election. As well, because the current administration would benefit in many different ways, apart from through the military-industrial complex, would benefit in many ways, like staying in power because there's a state of emergency because now America's involved in a war. They have bunkers. We don't. We can never, ever forget that. They will tell whatever lies are needed to tell to accelerate the Great Reset and bring us into a state of total desperation because they have somewhere to hide while the rest of us don't. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this short break.
At InfoWars MD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric Oxide, Probiotics, Joint Relief Max, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Collagen, Superfood Greens, Turmeric, Ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Match Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWars MD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
We take some brain force and then we'll do this commercial. How about that?
I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra is now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Yesterday, I had this wild thought that any leaders that want to go to war, there should be a universal rule that says any leaders that want to go to war have to hit the front lines first, them and their children. Do you know how quickly we'd have world peace if that was a universal rule? You want to, Lindsey Graham, you want to go to war? You first. On the front lines, buddy. Real leadership. Let's go. Not our sons and daughters who have zero interest in dying so that the military industrial complex can get richer. Not our sons and daughters who don't want to die so that we can accelerate the Great Reset, because there is no greater accelerator. You know, for them to achieve, and we are going to go through probably in about 30 minutes, we're going to go through this bombshell report. I haven't seen anyone else cover it yet, so you're going to want to pay attention to this. There is no way for them to reach their complete totalitarian goals unless they collapse everything around them. And that includes the economic system, and it includes the current identification systems and the ways that we use the internet and everything, to reach the point of the internet of everything and force people into connecting, essentially being constantly plugged in to the hive mind. Most people don't want to do that. Most people don't want to eat genetically modified cancer cells that they pretend is meat. Most people don't want to eat crickets and locusts instead of cereal. Most people think this is madness. Even normies, when I talk to them and I say, you know, they want you to eat crickets. They want to eliminate meat and get you to eat crickets instead. They say, what? That is disgusting. Who in their right mind would want me to eat crickets? They recognize how sick this is. So most people would not willingly roll over and accept this. And so they're doing two things at once. There is an incremental increase, although, as you can see, the pressure has intensified. You know, it's not just like once every 5 years they bring something really shocking in. It's like every 48 hours they're proposing new outrageous legislation these days. But apart from that, because the pushback is growing, as they get more insane and more intense with their attack on us, the pushback is growing and getting more insane and intense right back at them. So they need some sort of major event. I've said for the longest time, their wild card is the cyber attack, worldwide cyber attack. See you later. Don't come back online unless you have a digital vaccine, as the WEF calls it, which is a digital ID. So their wild card has always been that. But guys, let's not forget war. War is super effective at wiping out billions of people, especially if it's a world war, while the powerful people who want war, so that we can just get this over and done with, guys. It's getting too hard to convince people that the Great Reset's a great thing. Let's just get this over and done with. Let's go to war. Let's wipe them all out. And let's come back with a clean slate. The Great Reset. Let's come back with false world peace, with false treaties, with a UN 2.0. You know what? Things didn't work out how we wanted them to. We couldn't keep the people safe. Let's do a one world government, one world currency. That's how we're going to eliminate all these wars, because we have war because everyone's fighting over power. If we have one world government, we won't have that problem anymore. What a great solution. And by the time the people are so desperate because they've lost their children and their loved ones to these murderous psychopaths in power, they will agree to it. Because when human beings are in desperation, they just want a solution. They want it to stop. They want the suffering to stop. They want it to end. To think that they're not trying to get us to that point of desperation, as difficult as things are right now, we are nowhere near how bad it's going to get. To think that they don't want us at that point of desperation where we're begging for an earthly savior would be very, very naive. We need to be prepared. We'll continue with this on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word of the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays on the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
To the American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
The world has never been closer to complete annihilation. This is why this broadcast is so, so important right now, because we still have a chance to stop these maniacs. Don't ever underestimate the will of the majority. For two reasons. Number one, God honors free will. God honors free will, and his say is above their say. But also, they have to honor free will. Because as much as they would like to override your will, that law exists above whatever earthly laws man can make. And so the will of the people must overcome this right now. And this is why supporting InfoWars is so important right now. This is an uncensored platform that will tell you the truth, unfiltered, uncensored, news that you won't hear anywhere else. Tomorrow's news today, absolutely vital to keep supporting this platform. I've been a listener long before I was a contributor. InfoWars has greatly impacted my life. So Vitamin Mineral Fusion is 40% off right now at the InfoWarsStore.com link. There's never been a better time to purchase the Platinum Standard of Advanced Multivitamin Formulas. Our best-selling multivitamin formula will help give you all the essentials that you need. InfoWars has dropped the price like they never have before to help you save big, but it can't last forever. So while you're getting the savings, you're also keeping this network on the air with Vitamin Mineral Fusion. You can get all the essential vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and other beneficial compounds that you need for optimum health with a great tasting formula that will keep you coming back for more. Contains vitamin C, D, E, and B12, calcium, magnesium, zinc, selenium, L-glutamine, COQ10, 10 or CoQ10 and many, many more vital nutrients. It's very, very important as this attack on our health intensifies that we find ways to protect ourselves. And I know that InfoWars takes the quality of their products extremely, extremely seriously. So head to InfoWarsStore.com today and get yours while it's on sale. Keep the truth on the air. In this time where, I mean, just imagine a world where all you had was lies. It would be hell on earth. It would be like 1984 constant propaganda playing out there, and that's all you hear. And I don't care how strong of an individual you are, eventually that will wear you out. Maybe eventually with Voice to Skull, they can just feed you CNN 24 hours a day. For sure they'd love to. Maniacs. Stopping Iran's attack would have forced Israel to use sophisticated and expensive defenses. Iran's decision to launch about 180 high-speed ballistic missiles at Israel indicates that Tehran sought to inflict serious damage in Tuesday's night attack, unlike the well-telegraphed drone and missile attack in April. In April, a former financial advisor to the IDF chief of staff said an Arrow missile typically costs $3.5 million a time, and David Sling's interceptors, $1 million. Eliminating 100 or more missiles would easily run into hundreds of millions of dollars through the missiles themselves, though the missiles themselves will have cost Iran £80,000 each or more. Where is Iran getting all this money? I don't suppose it has something to do with the Biden administration unfreezing their funds. J.D. Vance really should have hammered that more last night. He really, really should have. I want to talk a little bit about Julian Assange now. I mean, there's so much. This developing, war in the Middle East is just going to keep escalating unless an adult comes into the room and sorts this out. Right now, there are no adults in the room where the United States would normally have some sort of control over this situation. Joe Biden is a vegetable and Kamala Harris is mentally, you know, incapable of reading and being convincing at all in her messages to those countries in the Middle East. So there's no deterrent. You're not getting a deterrent from Keir Starmer in the UK. You're not getting a deterrent from Anthony Albanese because no one takes him seriously in Australia. No, there is no deterrent for these escalations other than Russia, who's said, take your troops out of Lebanon now. The last thing we want is Russia involved in this. So this is going to keep going and developing, but I want to talk about Julian Assange because this is a journalist who is one of the greatest journalists of all time, revealed as a journalist, as a publisher, war crimes that were happening and was persecuted by the United States government for it. And he actually has just been granted, the Council of Europe's Parliamentary Assembly has voted to confirm Assange was held as a political prisoner. I'm not sure if people have seen this footage, but he actually spoke for the first time in public just yesterday. This came out. So we want to go to clip 9, Assange talking about his freedom. Yeah, we're going to get out of that clip. It looks like there was no audio on that. That's okay. So basically he says, I'm not free. I actually want to pull up the exact quote for you because it's so powerful. He says he's not free. While we're going to go to the next clip where he talks about the CIA, clip 10 on the CIA, and then I'm going to pull up the exact quote for you all.
By March 2017... WikiLeaks had exposed the CIA's infiltration of French political parties, its spying on French and German leaders, its spying on the European Central Bank, European Economics Ministries, and its standing orders to spy on French industry as a whole. We revealed the CIA's vast production of malware and viruses, its subversion of supply chains, It's a version of antivirus software, cars, smart TVs, and iPhones. CIA Director Pompeo launched a campaign of retribution. It is now a matter of public record that under Pompeo's explicit direction, the CIA drew up plans to kidnap and to assassinate me within the Ecuadorian embassy in London and authorized going after my European colleagues, subjecting us to theft, hacking attacks, and the planting of false information. My wife and my infant son were also targeted. A CIA asset was permanently assigned to track my wife, and instructions were given to obtain DNA from my six-month-old son's nappy. This is the testimony of more than 30 current and former US intelligence officials speaking to the US press, which has been additionally corroborated by records seized in a prosecution brought against some of the CIA agents involved. The CIA's targeting of myself, my family, and my associates through aggressive extrajudicial and extraterritorial means provides a rare insight into how powerful intelligence organizations engage in transnational repression.
Think about what he's saying there and the precedent that was set with him, with his case. You know, we already have an example of this with Reiner Fulmich, for example, who was in Mexico. Mexico has no extradition treaty with Germany, and yet he was kidnapped from Mexico and taken to a German prison where he is still going through a trial for false allegations. And there's definitely some sort of a collusion happening there. You know, we're hoping for his release very, very soon. But you think about the fact that he was kidnapped, no extradition treaty between Mexico and Germany. Then you look at Keir Starmer. Just look at the flow-on effect from Julian Assange. Keir Starmer saying, we're going to go overseas, we're going to prosecute people who criticize the situation in the UK, who offend me, who post memes. We're going to extradite these people to be charged in the UK. So the precedent has been set, and the quote from before, this is Assange speaking, I want to be totally clear, I am not free today because the system worked. I am free today because after years of incarceration, I pleaded guilty to journalism. I pleaded guilty to seeking information from a source. Journalism is not a crime. And I'm very happy that the Council of Europe's Parliamentary Assembly has agreed that he was indeed a political prisoner. It's wonderful that they've done that. But the man has suffered. The man has suffered in prison. He's lost precious, precious time with his young children, with his wife. He's lost years of being a father. He's lost years of being a husband. And I'm so encouraged that as he's adjusting, and he even said in his opening that it was very hard for him to speak and adjust to this life after essentially being tortured in that prison, being kept in solitary and just disgusting, terrible, terrible conditions, human rights abuses like you've never seen, because he's a journalist. And they made this example and set this precedent with him that they now want to do to everybody else. What are they do? What's the next escalation apart from Keir Starmer saying they're going to go cross border and they're going to prosecute you if you criticize anything happening in the UK? They're going to extradite you and bring you to the UK and prosecute you there, even though you're a foreign national, a foreign citizen that hasn't violated the laws of your own land because they're trying to implement this globalist system. Well, then you have the next escalation. Alex Jones, well, we're going to take your identity. We're going to take your digital identity. You don't get to use it anymore. You can't be trusted with the internet. We're going to take down your social media. You see how these escalations are rising. And so I want to go to clip 11, where Assange is talking about the problem with free speech right now. Not that free speech is a problem, the problem that we're having with our ability to exercise it, and how it's leading to self-censorship. Clip 11.
As I emerge from the dungeon of Belmarsh, the truth now seems less discernible, and I regret how much ground has been lost during that time period, how expressing the truth has been undermined, attacked, weakened, and diminished. I see more impunity, more secrecy, more retaliation for telling the truth, and more self-censorship. It is hard not to draw a line from the US government's prosecution of me, its crossing the Rubicon by internationally criminalizing journalism, to the chilled climate for freedom of expression that exists now.
Is there not a chilled climate of freedom of expression? And I'm not talking about the fact that people understand that they have a First Amendment in the United States, and this really is the last bastion, which is why the freedom of this nation is paramount to the West. It will have flow-on effects. And the people of the UK, it was because while all this madness was happening in the UK and people were being arrested for their social media posts, it was because of the people in the United States sticking up for patriots in the UK that Keir Starmer backed down. It was because of their bravery, their understanding of their First Amendment rights. But is there not a chilling effect on free speech? I can tell you, I reached out to a journalist that I know in the UK when all of this was happening with the migrant protests, because of all the violence that the immigrants are bringing over there. And the journalist said to me, I better not right now. And of course, that journalist knows that I would be incredibly careful so as to not put them at risk with the subjects that I cover, and I wouldn't push them to say something that I know Keir Starmer may use to put that person in jail. But nonetheless, they were still too scared to come on and talk about the issues, which is the time that we need to talk about these issues. Is there not a chilling effect on free speech? Is there not self-censorship? How many times do you go to post something on social media and you think, is the algorithm going to get me? We shouldn't have to think that way. We know what this particular platform likes and doesn't like. I'm going to avoid those topics. I'm going to avoid that criticism because I can't afford to get shadow banned, because if I do, then I can't get all this other crucial information out. It's like a self-sacrifice. It's not a fear. It's not all my platform. No, it's not about that. It's about, well, if I get shadow banned now, the next time there's a lethal injection release, I won't be able to warn people. It is such a precarious time for free speech. Such a precarious time. And so I'm very, very grateful that he talks about that precedent. Team, can we just play clip 13, please?
And other nationalities do not have free speech rights. But the US claims its Espionage Act still applies to them regardless of where they are. So Europeans in Europe must obey US secrecy law with no defences at all as far as the US government is concerned. An American in Paris can talk about what the US government is up to, perhaps. But for a Frenchman in Paris, to do so is a crime with no defence, and he may be extradited just like me.
It looks like we lost that audio there. Either way, he's talking about, okay, well, you know, if you're an American in France, you can criticise, perhaps. I mean, do you even still have that right? Or is the French government going to find a way to circumvent your First Amendment right? Because that's what's happening worldwide. I mean, Hillary Clinton put someone in jail for a meme, for goodness sake. Memes are your First Amendment right, but it still happened. They are looking for ways to twist and pervert the laws of every nation to attack your free speech in whichever way they can. It is such a dangerous time, because if we don't have the ability to speak about these things freely, we can't stop them. The reason why they're clamping down so hard right now on the flow of information is because we still have a chance to stop them. And mind you, if they succeed in their venture, there'll be lots of stealth operations. There'll be, you know, not that I'm encouraging this, disclaimers for the agencies. There'll be hackers that go in there. There'll be people that plug into the Matrix and the Internet of Things and, you know, cause glitches in the system to make the people wake up, because ultimately all of us are in this because we care about humanity. It's as much self-preservation as it is loving your neighbor. For most of us, we will always find a way. We will always find ways. But I think that right now, and so he was calling for Assange, I mean, was calling for this Council of Europe Parliamentary Assembly to enact laws that protect the people of Europe. And I think that needs, you know, I'm so encouraged that after all these years of suffering, he's back out there speaking for humanity, speaking for free speech, getting laws to protect free speech. It's just so encouraging to me. And I really respect it. I respect it because the easiest thing that he could do now is just go home and shut up like they want him to. And yet here he is, not long after being released at parliamentary hearings, fighting for free speech. Isn't that every single one of us? It should be. And if there were more of people like that, if there were more people like that, we wouldn't be in this position, would we? With just a very short amount of time to go to the election, I want to really briefly talk about this while we still have free speech. More than 747 ineligible voters have been removed from electoral rolls in North Carolina. This is InfoWars today. In addition, Oklahoma officials announced that they have removed 450,000 ineligible names from the voter rolls. Someone's doing something about it. But how would you know this if we didn't have free speech? How would you even get the, how would you even have the ability to hold lawmakers accountable and ensure that they get this done if there's no one to raise the issue of the fact that we have ineligible voters registered? You wouldn't have the ability. County boards of elections in North Carolina removed more than 747,000 ineligible registration records from the state's voter rolls from the start of 2023 through August 2024. On average, more than 1,200 voter records were removed from the voter list every day during those 20 months. Fantastic. So if North Carolina is going really, really hard at removing these ineligible voters, it makes sense to just maybe manipulate the weather and destroy this place and make it very difficult for them to vote. I don't know. If you saw the clip that we played at the start from Greg Reese about that weather warfare, I'd actually really love to play it again. Maybe as we come back from this break, we're going to play that before I take you through this really heavy report, which everyone needs to see. But one more thing has occurred. American Dental Association doubles down, pledges to push fluoridated water despite courts revealing fluoride causes brain damage to children. Because it is a constant war on us, ladies and gentlemen. A landmark federal court ruling recently determined that fluoride levels in U.S. drinking water pose unnecessary risks to children's IQ and cognitive development, validating what conspiracy theorists have warned about for decades. But now, the American Dental Association is defending fluoridated water. Why? Only God knows. We have confirmation that this is causing brain damage to children. What can you possibly defend? How can you possibly defend that? What in your right mind, what would make you say, there's a case for the brain damage in kids, guys? The American Dental Association. You see clips for toothpaste American Dental Association recommends this, I suppose. Stay away. Stay away because these guys apparently like brain-damaged children to be around in society. Don't go anywhere. We're going to play that Greg Greese clip one more time after the break. I really want people to see it, and then we're going to get into this report.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action. Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI has now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label it from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today. Please listen closely because this is life-changing critical information. The globalists are bombarding us with toxic chemicals hitting us in the air, the water, the food, the 5G, the poison shots, the shedding, the GMO, all of it. But God's given us compounds through nature that do incredible things in our body. And one of the most important, if not the most important, is vitamin B12. We've got the best organic vitamin B12, Ultra 12, a bestseller, finally back in stock after close to a year being sold out. You take it under the tongue for better absorption, and it's 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. So go to InfoWarsStore.com right now. Get your Ultra 12 and other great products for 40% off. Some products are even more, and it keeps the show on the air. That is a 360 win. The only way you lose is not taking action. I thank you all for your support, being part of this fight. Now go to InfoWarsStore.com right now.
First of all, we want to avoid the middle of the grocery store and stick to whole foods, real food. But these days, even the real food is short of its nutrient potential. And this is why it's important to take a vitamin mineral supplement every day. According to studies, regular multivitamin mineral supplement use reduces the risk of cancer and cardiovascular disease. Perhaps supplements aren't important to you, but in today's upside-down world, a daily vitamin mineral supplement is a must, and we have one of the best. Support your health and support the InfoWar. Get your vitamin mineral fusion today at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
They've had the technology to create, control, and steer hurricanes for decades.
Project Cirrus is the first official attempt to modify a hurricane. It was run by General Electric with the support of the U.S. military. The official theory was that by changing the temperature outside the eyewall of a hurricane, which they did by seeding the clouds with various compounds such as silver iodide, a decrease in strong winds will result. On October 13, 1947, Project Cirrus targeted a hurricane heading out to sea. Approximately 180 pounds of dry ice was dropped into the clouds. The crew then reported a pronounced modification of the cloud deck, and the hurricane abruptly changed direction and made landfall near Savannah, Georgia. The public blamed the government. Irving Langmuir, who pioneered General Electric's Atmospheric Research Department and admitted that the project was about learning how to weaponize the weather, also claimed the reversal of the hurricane had been caused by Project Cirrus. But the government denied it for 12 years. After a short delay, the project officially continued. And in 1965, Project Storm Fury had targeted Hurricane Betsy for seeding. On that day, the storm immediately changed direction and made landfall in southern Florida. Congress blamed it on Project Storm Fury, but the government claimed that the hurricane shifted before they ever had a chance to seed it. And after 2 months of congressional hearings, the project was allowed to continue.
In 1997, U.S. Defense Secretary William Cohen admitted we have the technology to control the weather, including earthquakes and volcanoes. The U.S. government has placed gag orders on employees of the National Weather Service. In October of 2012, after Hurricane Sandy weakened to a tropical storm, microwave imagery shows a thick red beam immediately followed by Sandy growing into a Category 1 hurricane and taking an unexplained left turn into New Jersey. The push towards alternative energy demands more lithium, and according to the U.S. Geological Survey, the United States has over 6 million tons of identified lithium resources. The majority of this lithium has been identified in Kings Mountain, North Carolina. Kings Mountain is believed to have one of the largest resources in the world, but the biggest problem is that people live there, and they don't want their quiet towns turned into lithium mines.
People in Schererville have been pushing against a proposed lithium mine for the last several years, but everyone we spoke with here said it's too divisive of an issue to share their opinion on camera. Schererville is a small, quiet town.
I think that's good that we keep it small.
So quiet, many don't feel comfortable speaking out against Piedmont Lithium's proposed mining operation nearby.
I think we're a silent majority. I think a lot of people are afraid to say anything about it because they are bringing a lot to the town as far as money.
Last year, the Department of Defense entered a $90 million agreement with Albemarle Corporation to increase domestic production of lithium for the nation's battery supply chain, specifically from Kings Mountain, North Carolina, starting by 2025. This is the same area experiencing what is being described as biblical floods. While the federal government spends billions on foreign wars and illegal immigrants, they simply cannot be bothered with the health and well-being of the American people, especially those living on coveted mineral-rich land. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
I am recommending everyone get that report and share it. Share it all over social media. People need to understand that just like in Maui, when they want land for smart cities, they're capable of absolutely anything. When they want land for lithium, they're capable of absolutely everything. And when you really look at it, all roads lead back to BlackRock, Vanguard, the international bankers, and those who seek to profit from a great reset, banning us from going into nature so that they can mine the resources for themselves to keep getting richer while they cut off our power supply. I just saw the UK just shut down their last coal power plant. What are these people going to do? And the reason I wanted to play that clip again, even if you've seen it, is because it ties into the report that I'm about to go through, which is probably going to take us through to the end of the show. I'm asking everyone who's watching this live to get people watching it now, because the famous line of InfoWars is that while other media networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. And that is what this next hour and a little bit is going to be about. We all know about the SPARS pandemic document, and we all know about the lockstep agenda, the lockstep documents, and how this was essentially a plan, a roadmap for COVID, and how everyone was going to operate in lockstep. And essentially what I've discovered here is this document called the National Blueprint for Biodefense. It has a similar sort of scenario that looks at the year 2025, which we will go through. It has, solutions that involve things like world government, global pandemic responses. And so whether or not they take us into nuclear war now to kill off masses of the population, this is next on the agenda. And according to this document, 2025. So download this segment. Keep it, because I believe that this will be a historic segment, one for the history books. Now, the Bipartisan Commission on Biodefense are the people that have published this. And when you look at who their current financial donors are, it's very interesting. You have Bavarian Nordic. Bavarian Nordic has, of course, not too long ago signed an agreement with UNICEF for 1 million Mpox injections. So that happened in Denmark, September 26th. Bavarian Nordic today announced an agreement with UNICEF for the supply of 1 million doses of the MVABN Mpox vaccine for countries in Africa impacted by the Mpox outbreak. They will procure 1 million doses of this injection, which includes the 500,000 doses that were committed by Gavi. So that is one of the people who are the current financial donors for this bipartisan commission on biodefense. The other financial donor that we found was Open Philanthropy Project. These guys, per their own website, say that they were originally incubated as a partnership between GiveWell and Good Ventures. And as is always the case with these types of organizations, you dig a little bit deeper, you keep going, and all roads lead back to either BlackRock and Vanguard. And that is certainly the case when I looked into them, because once you dig and you look at how do I contribute to this organization, they have some sort of a charitable venture set up with Vanguard. So that is another contributor to this blueprint, National Blueprint for Biodefense. The other people, well, before I go to SIGA, I'm going to go to Emergent. So Emergent BioSolutions confirms approximately $400 million in orders in 2024 and 2025 to support smallpox and mpox preparedness efforts. Okay, they also have another one where they announce the execution of contract options valued at $67.4 million to procure additional Tembexa to support national preparedness efforts. So these guys are supplying the U.S. with national preparedness efforts. Pretty significant company, if you ask me, if they're contributing to national preparedness. And then we have Emergent BioSolutions ACAM 2000. Now, if you watched me cover the fourth hour recently on the Alex Jones show, we spoke about ACAM 2000. But for anyone who missed it or perhaps needs a refresher, this is the highlights of prescribing information per the FDA themselves. This is the package insert for ACAM 2000. It is an Mpox injection. And you can see the warnings and precautions include myocarditis and or pericarditis, ischemic heart disease, non-ischemic dilated cardiomyopathy, encephalitis, and the list just goes on and on and on. Blindness, But this is the part that people really need to be aware of. ACAM 2000 is a live vaccinia virus that can be transmitted to persons who have close contact with the vaccine, and the risks in contacts are the same as those stated for vaccines. Furthermore, and you can see they give you all these horrific shots of monkeypox, which, you know, really is not a problem whatsoever in the United States. And we'll go into Dr. Jay Varma in a minute admitting to that. But the parts that people really need to be aware of is this section here. Death has also been reported in unvaccinated contacts accidentally infected by individuals who have been vaccinated. They openly tell you that if you come into contact with someone who's received the ACAM 2000 injection, that they have reported deaths in those unvaccinated individuals. And if that wasn't clear enough, ladies and gentlemen, they tell you that for pregnant women, live vaccinia virus vaccines can cause fetal vaccinia and fetal death. Pregnant women who are close contact of vaccinees may be at increased risk because live vaccinia virus can shed and be transmitted to close contact. So God forbid you're pregnant and you come in contact with some lunatic who's still believing Big Pharma and has gotten this injection, your baby may die and so may you. They tell these people inside these documents, it essentially says that they need to isolate for 4 weeks after they've gotten this injection. Who that's receiving this Mpox injection do you really think is going to be isolating for 4 weeks? Are they even going to tell them that when they go and get these injections? Probably not. So every supermarket you go to, every park you go to, everywhere basically where you may encounter someone that still believes the government, if you're pregnant, or even if you're not pregnant, you may die by coming into contact with one of these people. But just so you all know, I'm not making this up. Apart from the blood and organ donation that should be avoided for at least 30 days following the injection with ACAM 2000, because God forbid you have an organ donation or a blood donation from one of these people that's getting this injection, you may die. And they furthermore go to re-emphasize that death of unvaccinated individuals who have contact with vaccinated individuals may occur. Okay, so they found a way to kill us through shedding. So that is one of the people, Emergent, that is sponsoring financially Bipartisan Commission on Biodefense. The final one I want to talk to you about is SIGA. SIGA is, you may recall, very famous. Recently, SIGA Technologies was exposed. Stephen Crowder and his crew, who did an absolutely phenomenal job, exposed SIGA for Dr. Jay Varma, who was their chief medical officer, talking about the fact that monkeypox is a complete scam. His job is to make it look like it's not a scam so that they can go ahead and inject all of these people. Let's play that clip from Dr. Jay Varma. I'll let you know when to end it.
Yeah. A couple years ago, but it's not going to spread among the general population. It's almost certainly going to stay primarily in the gay men.
Honestly, in the United States, the risk is very low. It's only primarily transmitted among gay men. It basically got into the sexual networks of gay men, and a lot of gay men have tons and tons of sexual partners, and often don't use condoms. And so as a result, it spreads more.
What's the drug called?
It's called Tecovirimat, or TPOX. We also need to keep up the people's belief that the drug works, so that's why spinning it in the media is often. So we want the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, to approve our drugs specifically for monkeypox, and right now it's only considered experimental. And they won't approve it based on this study. You can spin them so that people won't dump the stock, thinking that the company's worthless. World Health Organization did an announcement about a public health emergency.
Oh.
All over the news and stuff. They could give us something called an emergency authorization. That's what they did during COVID, like the vaccines and everything. Mm-hmm. They actually had to submit the data.
Yeah.
They took the preliminary data. They didn't wait till the data was followed out for 3 or 6 months because it was an emergency. Because basically what we're trying to get the media to say is, oh, the drug didn't work because it was designed the wrong way. So they're going to do another study and it'll probably work. And in the meantime, you know, people should prescribe it for that reason as an emergency. That's what we want the story to be.
The problem is we're stuck with, like, our drug, it definitely looks like it works, but the people that we need to buy it are not going to be as confident in it because the data doesn't look as strong as it would have.
You're damn straight.
So sometimes you do a study.
The data doesn't look as it does. Dr. Jay Varma, who has been exposed for having wild orgies in the middle of lockdowns, and he just feels so great being his free self. Guys, this guy feels so great being his authentic self while he openly admits that we need the media to spin it. We need the media to spin that this is actually an emergency and that this drug is needed, knowing full well that the adverse reactions include death to unvaccinated people that come into contact with people who've been injected with this injection. So I want you to keep all of that in mind. That they've figured out, the powers that be have figured out how to kill the non-compliant, kill the unvaccinated through their products that they say don't work, and they admit they use the media to make an emergency out like there is one when there isn't one in order to get people to take their product in collusion with the World Health Organization. I want you to keep all of that in mind when we go through this report right now, that these are the types of people funding this institution. So, it's also important to note that two of the people that signed off on this report are Joseph I. Lieberman and Thomas J. Ridge, who both reported as being in favor of mandatory injections. This was very, very important to them to make sure that we had mandatory injections happening during the times of COVID. So the executive summary says that the biological threat has not abated. In fact, the threat has intensified. And that COVID reminded us of how vulnerable we all are, no matter how where we live. And so essentially the tone of this report is that, look, COVID, we didn't really go hard enough in COVID. This showed us that we need to go harder. We need a coordinated global response. And that's the lessons that we've learned from COVID. And if you read any of their post-pandemic, you know, post-mortem documents, they're always saying, oh, we learned such great lessons. Keeping people indoors forever is fantastic for the climate. Mass surveillance is what we need to implement permanently. We need to have people injecting themselves preemptively. All these things are the way of the future. And this is exactly what this document says. It also says that in the wake of COVID-19 and today's global unrest, there is nothing theoretical about the need to implement their 36 recommendations, which we're going to go through today as well. So they say that the Department of State has concluded that Russia and North Korea possess active offensive biological weapons programs and that China and Iran may also. And so they're talking about foreign nations possessing active biological threats, and yet they openly admit later on to doing the same, but they aren't biological weapons when we have dual use and gain of function research programs. That's us studying pathogens to stop the threat from Russia and Iran and China, guys. We're not misusing these pathogens. Only those nations are. Oh, okay. It actually calls for more gain of function research in this document, which is astounding to me. But I reported quite some time ago on Australia's pandemic preparedness plan where it's the same thing. It says we need to legalize gain of function. That is a direct violation of the Biological Weapons Convention. But they don't word it expressly that way. So therefore they get away with it because it's a gray area. As we covered recently, Dr. James Giordano said, when I interviewed Karen Kingston, we covered that, and he said, look, it's really a gray area. We can figure out a way to wage biological warfare on the populations because we've figured out the gray area. We must not forget that seasonal influenza kills 400,000 people worldwide on average annually, and that the world has lost around 7.6 million lives to influenza alone. So I want you to really grasp the fact that they're claiming now that influenza is somehow a biological weapon, something that people have been living with for millennia, seasonal cold and flu symptoms. They're now putting that in a biological weapons document, meaning they want to address this as though it's a biological threat to the populations. They want to elevate the risk of influenza to biological weapons stage. Potential misapplications of synthetic biology, they say, is a risk, which is really interesting because now they're talking about the implications of the advances of synthetic biology, something that people like me have been warning about for a very long time. And now that they've perfected their craft of absolutely screwing with the human being, trying to make us into, I don't know, half silicon, half machine, now they're talking about the risks of synthetic biology. Wow. International crises like the fall of Afghanistan, Russian invasion of Ukraine, and attacks on Israel have also increased the potential threat of biological weapons use. So the wars that we create, the international crises that we create, the ones that the military-industrial complex wants us to keep doing, the ones that Lindsey Graham wants us to keep escalating, all these threats that, you know, NATO on Russia's doorstep and all these things that we keep doing has now forced us into a position where we are now at a higher risk of biological threat, therefore we need more control of the population. This is the way that they are spinning this, ladies and gentlemen. And they even say here that former CIA officials talk about the pursuit of biological weapons by nation states and terrorist organizations that seek to kill, look at the number that they give you there, 60 to 70% of the population. Look at that number down the bottom there. So they're telling you, the CIA is saying that bad actors, not them, these guys are the good guys, right? But they say that the target is to kill 60 to 70% of the population. Furthermore, they say that traditional as well as newly organized terrorist organizations, domestic militia groups, and lone wolves express intent to use biological weapons and show some capacity to develop them. Now, here's the really fascinating part, where they talk about domestic militia groups there. So they're now saying that these people are in the same class as terrorists, and lone wolves may be in the same class as terrorists, as in the domestic terrorist organizations that they keep telling us, like they keep creating, like Obama created ISIS and then tells you, well, we need to go to war to fight the terrorist organization that we created. Now they're classifying domestic militia groups in that same class of terrorists. What do they do to terrorists? Well, they go to war with them. They kill them. They lock them up. They treat them as criminals. So domestic militia groups are now in that category, apparently. And what do they classify as a terrorist act in here? Well, bioterror is spreading false information. But we haven't gotten to that yet. The COVID-19 pandemic, they say, illuminated the immense value of collecting large sets of biological data and leveraging advanced analytics and AI to gain insights from those data. A little while ago, I exposed the NOAA and their geoengineering projects that are very widespread, and I was very surprised that they were feeding, that all of this was online. And when I found their 2025 agenda, their omics agenda, it actually said they have to, there is a mandate to upload these geoengineering projects so they can feed their AI. We're going to talk about what that means on the other side of the break and how this part is also relevant to you. All of the data they collected about you during COVID, the biological data, the analytics, the fact that AI knows everything about your every move during that time and how it's going to be weaponized against us. Don't go anywhere.
An InfoWars fan favorite is now back in stock after over a year of not being available. It is the vitamin C and zinc with rose hips. Now, this is a copy of Linus Pauling, who won the Nobel Prize for his findings on vitamin C's formula. It is 1,000 milligrams of organic vitamin C with zinc to take it into the cells, and rose hips, he believed that supercharged it. This formula is amazing. We've not had it for over 12 months, and now it's available back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. It is simply incredible. What it does for your whole body, your immune system, is next level. So whether you're in super good health or not in good health, everybody benefits from this formula. It's back in stock, discounted at InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamin C and zinc with rose hips at InfoWarsStore.com. And it funds the operation. So that's a win-win. Get your vitamin C with zinc, the Linus Pauling formula, at InfoWarsStore.com.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I only encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us. And that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
People look at these documents when we break them down sometimes and they say, well, it's just them jotting stuff down. It's just a financial, you know, proposal basically so that these companies can get more funding for their monkeypox injections or whatever the case may be. But what you'll find as I go through this is that it's far more than that. It's calling for changing laws. It's calling for more control. And you'll see that as we go through this document. But also bear in mind that Operation Lockstep was just one of those documents as well. The SPARS pandemic was just one of those pipe dreams until it became reality. And so these people put these documents out to tell us what their plans are, to essentially obtain our consent in their bizarre occultic ritual that they feel like this is how they circumvent our free will. And so this is very, very important to note now. The omic strategy that I was talking about before the break with the NOAA is essentially they were saying they put all these geoengineering projects up on the NOAA's website, and it literally said snowpack in Colorado, rain over here, you know, drought in Utah, all the different weather modification operations that they were doing and who was doing them. And sometimes it was energy companies involved. Sometimes it was the city involved. Very, very fascinating stuff. And I thought, why on earth would they be putting this online? Until I read the OMIC strategy, which said by 2025, we need to upload everything into the cloud to essentially give it to AI to help us better manage the planet. Well, what does that mean? What is AI going to do if you feed it? We need to keep geoengineering because we have all these climate change problems. So we need to keep doing all this geoengineering. And so what's AI going to spit out tomorrow? Oh, we need more geoengineering. If you teach AI that geoengineering is crucial to the survival of the planet, it's going to keep telling you we need to do more geoengineering. And so that is essentially what they're talking about in this document, where they say that we, you know, it illuminated, COVID illuminated the immense value of collecting large sets of biological data and leveraging advanced analytics and AI to gain insight from those data. And they say that the same techniques could be used to develop more potent biological weapons than previously imagined. Well, who's got the biological data, folks? If you're telling me that that data can be used to develop biological weapons, that means that data that you collected from people during your PCR DNA sample swab and whatever other methods you use to convince people to hand over their DNA during COVID, that data is now in the hands of bad actors. Why? Why weren't those precautions taken at the time? And why are we only now saying, maybe these people who have your DNA that they obtained during COVID, your biological data, are actually going to use it now to develop ethnic-specific bioweapons or even person-specific bioweapons to kill you specifically? Oops. Oops. And meanwhile, they go on to talk about conspiracy theories involving Russia locating bioweapons labs in Ukraine that the U.S. was involved in. Hunter Biden, we know, was involved in that. And Ukraine was developing ethnic-specific bioweapons in Ukraine. So are you talking about Ukraine having biological data to do that? Is that what you're saying here when we are admitting that people can develop these biological weapons now with that biological data? It's unbelievable. Some human activities facilitate disease emergence and spread, apparently. And this is something that the Australian Pandemic Preparedness Report says as well. It says, human encroachment into natural habitats is actually what's causing climate change and pandemics, something we've been doing for thousands of years. And so we've got to stop that. We can't go out into nature anymore, and we need to preemptively inject ourselves. And let me tell you, this report echoes the exact same thing. We're going to do the rest of this deep dive right on the other side of the break. Share this broadcast now, and I'll see you in a moment.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word of the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going through the National Blueprint for Biodefense document. This is the Bipartisan Commission on Biodefense. It was published in April 2024, and to date, I have not seen anyone else cover this information. It is incredibly damning. The financial donors to this organization are very alarming. They include, as we just covered, people who are pushing the Mpox injections, even though we know that there is no Mpox emergency. We have Dr. Jay Varma, former chief medical officer of SIGA, who is one of the donors, financial donors, admitting that they are using the media to spin it to make it look like Mpox is an emergency that's needed. They've successfully gotten this emergency use authorization. The WHO is involved. And of course, we know that the ACAM 2000, which is emergent, is responsible for, also one of the donors, is an injection that is causing death to the unvaccinated people that come into contact with those who've had the injections. This is absolutely criminal. It is unbelievable. And these people that are associated with this national blueprint, where they are calling for laws in the United States to be changed, they are calling for Pfizer to be weaponized against people that they're considering domestic terrorists for sharing. They even go so far as to say things that are true but could cause harm. I mean, this is such a damning document. So we really, really need to pay attention to it. And again, I'm asking, share it now. And after it's done, download it, re-upload it, share the links, tell everyone that they need to get informed about this vital, vital information and this blueprint for how they want complete and utter control of every facet of society. So I'm going to keep going, because we have a lot to get through. They say that some human activities facilitated disease emergence and spread. We were talking before the break about how even in Australia, they're saying, oh, human encroachment into natural habitats is it was causing pandemics. Even though we've been going into nature for thousands of years, even though we've been interacting with animals for thousands of years, farming for thousands of years, all of a sudden that's what's causing climate change, which is just the weather, and pandemics. Okay, so we need to stop humans from going into nature. We need to stop humans from interacting with animals. Heck, we even need to stop them from eating animals. No more of that. Just stay in your pod, stay put, don't move, eat crickets and die. That's how we're going to save the planet. And so they say that a range of factors contribute to this. And they say rising population. Ooh, God forbid we had people reproducing. So we need to deal with that problem of rising population. Then we also have the problem of globalization. That is actually something that they are pushing. Globalization is causing climate change and pandemics. Well, then let's stop globalization, guys. They say ease of international travel is a huge problem. So they're going to obviously look at ways of reducing international travel. They say climate change is a problem. Urbanization is a problem. Land use changes are a problem, or land use in general in their eyes. Increased human-animal contact. Can you tell me, please, how our human-animal contact has increased? I would say it's actually decreased. There is less farming going on. Farming is more centralized than it used to be. People used to have chickens, goats, all this sort of stuff on their property. That's not common anymore. And they say that agricultural or animal husbandry practices are a problem. Agriculture is a problem, according to these guys. And they say that all of this contributes significantly to the increasing risk and frequency of naturally occurring infectious disease outbreaks that can lead to pandemics. Farming is what causes pandemic, guys. Pandemics. It's not gain-of-function research. It's not an intentional bioweapon release. It's farming. And so they go on to say that from 2001, they go on to admit this, from 2001 to 2021, nations throughout the world built at least 20 of the 59 biosafety level 4 BSL-4 laboratories in 23 countries, mostly in densely populated urban areas. Do you know that Dr. Francis Boyle, who is the architect of the Biological Weapons Convention, actually says that these BSL-4 labs are in direct violation of the Biological Weapons Convention? So I think that the architect of that BWC would know best, but these guys, oh, they have a great way that they've found around that, which we'll get into. So they admit here that they've built more and more of these BSL-4 labs that should not be in existence. And they say while biological agents themselves have long posed security concerns, biological information, you need to see this, is increasingly becoming a security concern itself. Information hazards arise from the dissemination of true information that may cause harm. So think about how convoluted this is, ladies and gentlemen. They are telling you that information hazards in the classification of a biological weapon is information that is true but can cause harm. So who's it causing harm to? It's causing harm to the perpetrators of the crimes. And they're actually classing that. Remember, go back to domestic militia groups and lone wolves being classed as domestic terrorists. They are classing people that pass information on that is true, but they deem to cause harm in that category of a biological weapons terrorist. Because now it's an information hazard and that is classed as biological terrorism. I don't know how many times I need to keep repeating this to get my point across. You and me, in their eyes, are domestic terrorists. In their eyes, because we tell the truth. add responsibilities for pandemic recovery and mitigation to the White House Office of Pandemic Preparedness and Response Policy. So this is littered all throughout this document where they are actually saying we need to implement this position, we need to implement that position, we need laws changed, we need to federalize pandemic response. Don't worry about what the states want to do. It needs to be in the hands of the federal government. We need to have certain people in positions to be calling the shots, and they have all the authority, and we need to work with the WHO in order to achieve it. And so when you look at the types of people that they put into authority, for example, Dr. Jay Varma, who has orgies during lockdowns while you're not allowed to see your dying mother, and openly admits that this vaccine that we made, there's no emergency, people don't actually need it, and yeah, it's killing people, but we get the media to spin it so that the WHO gives us emergency use authorization. Woohoo! They put those people in those roles where they continue to centralize their control. And in the meantime, make it a crime for you to expose them, like Stephen Crowder and his crew just did with Dr. J. Orgy Boy. And then what? Then you're stuck with these perpetrators of war against humanity continuously perpetrating war on humanity. They say that you need to establish an Assistant Secretary of Agriculture for National and Homeland Security. So at that level, again, calling for those positions, calling for a focus on agriculture. And they say that we need to implement the Biodefence Science and Technology Plan that focuses on the technology priorities provided in the Commission's 2021 report on the Apollo program for biodefense. So they're telling the US government that the administration needs to align themselves with this plan, and we will go through some of those sections of the Apollo plan or the Apollo program shortly. But I want you to see all of the federal entities which they are saying have biodefense responsibilities. Okay, they say Department of Agriculture, Commerce, Defense, Education, Energy, Health and Human Services, Homeland Security, Housing and Urban Development, Interior, Justice, Labor, State, Treasury, Transportation and Veterans Affairs. They say that all of these departments have biodefense responsibilities. In other words, they will be tasked with complying with this heavy-handed, insane response for future pandemics. And then they say that independent agencies, independent. So the CIA, EPA, General Services Administration, NASA, which is a fascinating one that we'll talk about in a moment, the National Nuclear Security Administration, National Science Foundation, Office of the Director of National Intelligence, Postal Service, which we'll talk about as well, U.S. Agency for International Development, and the Smithsonian. Fascinating that they're involving the Smithsonian in that. So I just want to give you an overview of the organizations that the departments and organizations that they are planning to capture. Think of it in this light, because these have been identified as organizations that will comply. Furthermore, they say that Congress should strengthen oversight, authorization, and appropriations for federal biodefense efforts to adapt our nation's laws efficiently and strengthen federal defense against the growing biological threat. So do you know when the WHO says every nation needs to change its laws in order to comply with our WHO international health regulations or pandemic treaty? And every nation says, no, you can't tell us what to do with our laws. And then terrorist Tedros says, well, I'm not going to overrule your sovereignty. You get to do whatever you want. And then a group like this one comes in and says, we need to do this, which just so happens to be exactly what the WHO wants to do, but we retain our sovereignty. We just operate through captured agencies within our own government that just so happen to do whatever the WHO wants. Okay, great. Move right along now. And so that another one that I really want you to see is the congressional committees with biodefense jurisdiction that they identify. And they identify the U.S. House of Representatives and all of the departments within there and the U.S. Senate. And we're talking agriculture, appropriations, armed services, budget, energy and commerce, education and the workforce, financial services, Indian affairs, foreign affairs, homeland security, judiciary, natural resources, science, space, technology, transportation and infrastructure, veterans affairs, ways and means, permanent select committee on intelligence and oversight and accountability. And they pretty much cross over between both with some minor differences like the Indian affairs and health and education. But every single congressional committee that you can think of is involved in this plan to subjugate you through a bio-warfare strategy. A permanent installation of biological warfare, perpetual threat of a non-existent biological warfare threat, or perhaps a real one that they've perpetuated. This is what this is. It is deeming that this country and the whole world is under a perpetual threat of biological warfare, which includes the dissemination of true information that may cause harm. It is so twisted. Then they say Section 702 of the FISA, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, allows for the intelligence community to obtain, for foreign intelligence purposes, the communication of foreigners, so on and so forth. And our country must retain 702 authorities because they are critical to biodefense. So everything that they manage to achieve through FISA, including spying on their own people, they're saying this needs to be a permanent installation of surveillance because it's critical for biodefense and we need to use it against people who share the truth because it could cause us harm. And then they say that they need to create a national intelligence manager for biological threats. Again, this is another example of centralizing this, creating the types of managers that they would want in control of this that then basically dictate to the other departments. And then they say that they want to make biological weapons programs and related activities a discrete intelligence topic. So if it wasn't already bad enough and you can't, you know, you can go and say, hang on a second, why do we have these BSL-4 labs? This is actually a violation of the Biological Weapons Convention. You're saying biological threats are a real threat to us, and this is a threat to national security, and this is going to change our way of life because of all of these threats. Let's shut down the BSL-4 labs. No, no, no. We want more secrecy around the biological weapons operations that we're conducting. Weird. They said that they permanently want to authorize Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA, to protect the nation against biological attacks, a permanent authorization of FISA. It was in their recommendation. And they say that they want to make the FBI responsible for the National Bioforensics Analysis Center. Now, what do they consider bioforensics? Well, potentially also information that is true. Deeming people that share true information domestic terrorists, I guess. And we're going to give the FBI the charge of being in touch of, in being responsible, sorry, of for the National Bioforensics Analysis Center. What are they going to be analyzing? What sort of AI tools are they going to be using to analyze that? And can the FBI be trusted to not use this against non-suspecting citizens that are just trying to raise the alarm about certain issues? My instinct tells me no. They go on then to, this is really huge, okay? So they say, the DTRA Cooperative Threat Reduction Program continues to be a prime target for misinformation and disinformation, especially regarding biological weapons. Russian state media, diplomats, and propagandists have grossly mischaracterized the program's activities since at least 2018, claiming without evidence that the U.S. is running biological weapons laboratories in Ukraine. Well, we actually have that evidence. I was very, very, you know, one of the people reporting on that very early on. I had Karen Kingston, a former Pfizer employee and biotech analyst, on with me to discuss some of her findings regarding these programs. And it went to the highest levels where the Russian Ministry of Defense actually included her findings in a briefing. This is all true. But they say that these are propagandists and that this is mis- and disinformation, even though we have the evidence. During the first morning of the invasion of Ukraine, propagandists took to social media claiming that Russia was invading to shut down U.S. biological weapons laboratories there. Well, Russia did shut down U.S. biological laboratories there. Laboratories that were reportedly linked to the United States, and laboratories that they reported were being used to create ethnic-specific biological weapons to target Slavic people. This was found when investigators went to one of these hospitals as well, where they actually, I interviewed at the time, it was Simeon Boykov that found the journalist that went into Ukraine, that found that they were collecting these blood samples. What were they doing with these blood samples? The Australian Doherty Institute as well had this really bizarre trail of obtaining and, you know, doing God knows what with blood samples in Ukraine. What were they doing with this data? And before COVID, they were telling these Ukrainian people to subject themselves to tests or treatments, experimenting on them essentially per this hospital that was abandoned with all the files taken so that there was no evidence left behind, computers gone, everything. But those journalists on the ground got to the bottom of it. So all of that was real and happening and bizarre, but these people say that if you dare talk about this truth that can cause harm, you're a terrorist or a biological weapons spreader. This is where we're at, ladies and gentlemen. And so they say that both DOD and DOS cooperative threat reduction programs actively work to combat these disinformation campaigns, but they need a formal strategy to counter mis and disinfo, a formal strategy to make sure that we don't get the truth out to the people. The National Science Foundation does not, listen to this statement, listen to this ridiculous statement. The National Science Foundation does not fund dual use research of concern and gain of function research of concern, but allows for research that could create enhanced potential pandemic pathogens. Idiots, that's the same thing. Just because you slap a pretty phrase on it and say, we don't do gain of function or dangerous dual use, but we do, you know, experiments where we can create dangerous pathogens with pandemic potential. We just call them EPPs. There's not gain of function or dual use programs that are banned by the Biological Weapons Convention. These are EPPs. It's the same thing. You can't just slap another acronym on it and pretend that you're not creating biological weapons. But they invert everything. And again, we're the bad ones for pointing it out. They say that we need to develop and implement a plan to counter misinformation and disinformation about cooperative threat reduction programs. So me just simply pointing out just then that an EPPP is the same as dual use research and gain of function research. These two things are exactly the same. They say, no, you can't say that. You can't say that about our programs. These are EPPPs. And so we need something that's going to counter this mis and disinfo of this person pointing out the absolute fact that we're just rewording something that's illegal. And the Secretary of Defense, in coordination with the Secretary of State, should develop a strategy for countering mis and disinfo about military biodefense, including cooperative threat reduction programs. Now listen to this. The Secretary should submit this strategy to Congress no later than 180 days after enactment. After enactment. So they say we need to implement a plan and a strategy. We need to implement it. We need to counter this mis and disinfo of this wacko over there saying we're doing gain of function. We're doing dual use. We are actually violating the Biological Weapons Convention. We need to stop her, and then the Secretary should submit the strategy that they used to stop her no later than 180 days after they implemented the strategy. So the government and the people of the country have absolutely no idea that they've been doing it until 180 days later when they submit their strategy and it's already done and dusted. The person's already been silenced. No one has access to life-saving information. And then it gets swept in, I don't know, you know, really quietly that this is what they've been doing. Under the guise of protecting the public, of course. They go on to talk about artificial intelligence and life science risk management, and they admit it is now possible to use openly available AI and large language models to help develop novel pathogens and biological weapons. And in fact, they give an example of when researchers changed the parameter of an AI model used for drug development. They also found that the model could produce compounds for existing and novel chemical weapons, folks. So this technology is in the hands of these maniacs. You're not allowed to have it because you can't be trusted, but they can. The people that want you in prison for pointing out what capabilities they have. Don't go anywhere. We're going to continue with this on the other side of the break.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word of the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
Our world is so full of hype. We are force-fed dehumanizing propaganda by the corporate media, by the controlled churches and the universities. And why is this the case? Because we innately, by God, have been given the keys for our own minds, our own psyches, our own souls. And by connecting to God, we can empower ourselves and transcend the, quote, fallen or sinful state. So the chemicals that we ingest and all the things that we try to bring into our bodies to change who we are only lowering us. They're only making us more depressed. In the end, they're only making us less fulfilled. It is only by going within and really making that connection to God that we can truly empower ourselves. That's why the globalists bombard us with toxins and chemicals to block us getting the normal vitamins and minerals and trace elements our bodies need to be healthy and to be able to basically reach out beyond the third dimension. And that's where the incredible products come in at InfoWarsStore.com.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI has now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label it from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are. Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Maria Z. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Government agency admits COVID-boosted individuals died more. Canadians who were boosted with a third or fourth COVID vaccine had higher death rates compared to the non-vaccinated, as admitted by the Public Health Agency of Canada, who've just responded to a parliamentary inquiry. How many years after people were told that these injections were safe and effective is this coming out? This is why this is so important, what we're talking about today, because we are literally dealing with a very, very similar thing where they want to make this a permanent response to pandemics. You don't get to find out anything until it's too late. That is what they are proposing here. So we are going to continue going through the National Blueprint for Biodefense that was recently published, recommendations to change laws in the United States, have a permanent biowarfare state in the country, and we have a lot to get through, so I'm going to power through this. They mentioned the Apollo program for biodefense, which also some of the recommendations here are to develop vaccine candidates for prototype pathogens. We've already done that. Develop therapeutic drugs in advance of outbreaks. We've already done that. Develop flexible and scalable manufacturing of pharmaceuticals. Already doing that, guys. We have hundreds of millions of doses of mRNA being produced in various countries already. So this is not some future thing. It's already happening. They said that they want to develop needle-free methods of drug and vaccine administration. And I will talk to you more about that as we get into what they want to do with the U.S. Postal Service. Identify and increase ubiquitous sequencing. Already done that. Develop minimally and non-invasive infection detection, digital pathogen surveillance, and a national public health data system. So what does all of that mean? Well, we start getting into their recommendations and some of the things that they're saying are priority. And in fact, this is, I think, the way that they get NASA, which is a surveillance agency, to incorporate into this permanent surveillance state, where they say, oh, we now need astro biodefense because of all these people apparently going into outer space. They're bringing back, I don't know, alien viruses with them. So we need NASA to get involved in this permanent biological warfare state. And they want to authorize the Office of Planetary Protection and NASA, and Congress should amend the National Aeronautics and Space Act to authorize these guys to prevent forward contamination and prevent backward contamination and make sure that little green aliens aren't going to give us a pandemic. This is where we're at. Now, the medical countermeasures, they talk extensively about this. This is, of course, essentially a military term for the weapons program that they launched against us via the COVID injections. And they say that they want to expedite the approvals for platforms. That's already happening, as we've seen with monkeypox and other examples, you know, COVID influenza injections, so on and so forth. You only have to look at Moderna's pipeline to see how quickly they're getting these through. And that's just going to increase as time goes on because they're going to utilize AI for these approvals. AI will deem that these injections are safe and effective. And of course, because the COVID shot was so great, per AI's belief, you know, if it says death to the unvaccinated, AI will go, oh, yeah, that's very safe. You know, because that's what it's been taught. And so they say that they will use predictive biomarkers, AI-based models, and real-world evidence to accelerate authorization of biomedical products. So that's exactly what I just said. And by investing in vaccines for at least one prototype pathogen in each of the 26 viral families known to infect humans, we could reduce the global burden of infectious disease while simultaneously preparing for the next unknown biological threat. So they say basically all viruses belong to these 26 viral families. And so we need one vaccine for each of these 26 viral families, or one prototype pathogen, and then we need to preemptively inject against these. They haven't told you that yet, but that's what they're about to do. And they say we need to review existing medical countermeasures programs by developing an interagency product transition plan to hasten advanced development of promising medical countermeasures, and plan and deliver this plan to Congress within 1 year of enactment. So enact it first, then tell Congress a year later, and then review it every 5 years thereafter, because it takes 5 years to kill a bunch of folk with no accountability, I suppose. Look how long it took the Canadian government to admit to this, as we're talking 4 years later, 4 years down the track. So a five-year plan sounds really good for making sure that Congress doesn't touch it while all these people are dropping dead. Develop vaccine candidates for prototype pathogens, and then they talk about needle-free methods of vaccine and drug administration. Okay, of course, guys, that is, you can just look at the company Vaxas if the team wants to bring up V-A-X-X-A-S. That is a company that's manufacturing in Australia. I can tell you about them. They have a HDMAP technology, which basically has a hydrogel layer on the top. It looks like a Band-Aid, and it has a hydrogel layer on the top, and inside that hydrogel is graphene, which makes it possible for the manufacturer, whoever is in charge of the data at the time, to say, right, it's left our manufacturing facility at this time. USPS or Australia Post or whoever has it on their truck right now, okay, it's been delivered to your door, and why haven't you administered this vaccine yet? It's been sitting at your house for 2 hours. Why isn't it inside your body? And then once it's inside your body, they know exactly. I don't know that that's the one, but it's interesting that it's the same. So Vaxas over here, Vaxas over there. Anyway, it looks like that. And they know exactly, once it's in your body, exactly what it's doing. It's called HDMAP technology. So look into that. But essentially, that's what they want. They want to make this the future of vaccine administration, that they know exactly where it is once you've injected it, if you haven't injected it. And of course, once you're talking about a digital ID and a digital currency and so on and so forth, you know, USPS sends you your injection and you haven't administered it, all of a sudden your bank account's not working. They talk about establishing regional food and agriculture advanced development and manufacturing. Guys, that's literally just bioengineered food, food that is, you know, intended to cyborgize us and strip us of all nutrients, in line with Codex Alimentarius, which all the way back in the 60s said, we're going to reclassify nutrients as poisons, classify toxins as nutrients, and we'll effectively kill everyone off that way. Really, that's a WHO initiative. And so they want to take complete control over agriculture, and they do actually identify that later on in the report. They want to develop a strategy and implementation plan for distributing at-home diagnostic tests and therapeutics. So that's exactly what I said. And you can see it here for yourself, needle-free vaccines, at-home tests. It's in there. You can see on the fifth line of the last paragraph, in various forms, i.e. needle-free. So that is those vaccine patches that literally tell them whether or not you've injected yourself. And they'll know it's whether it's in you or not, because they plan to have your DNA on file, so, or your body on file, or your biomarkers on file, or your biosensors on file. And so you may think that you can inject it into a, I don't know, a ham leg or something, a leg of ham, and they'll go, that leg of ham isn't Maria. We can tell because of XYZ. So that is extremely alarming. They say that they want to require periodic evaluation of smallpox medical countermeasure stockpiles. So we haven't had a smallpox problem in a very long time, but they want to stockpile this stuff, which means they're planning for it. And of course, they want to improve, expand, enhance, and sustain state, local, tribal, and territorial training to receive and distribute stockpile contents during biological events. Now, I'm just wanting to go back to the start of this. For some reason, I didn't have the actual scenario in my pile, and I'm thinking that perhaps I took it out before we got started. What I'm going to do, team, at the end, is if you can just find the scenario pages from the PDF, and we're going to bring that up at the end so I can show everyone the scenario that they highlight in this document. They want to improve, expand, enhance, and sustain state, local, tribal, territorial training to receive and distribute stockpile contents, which means they want to capture every level of government and every level of community. When they say train, they mean is enforce. And, of course, they mention making sure they continue poisoning the military as well with these medical countermeasures. They want to permanently authorize and explicitly authorize the CDC in statute, they say. In statute. And increase the public health security workforce, which, of course, is, authorizing these officers with authority so they can be on a power trip because they're now part of the public security workforce who are going to come knocking on your door the minute you haven't taken your HD map Band-Aid injection. And of course, they talk about the hospital systems and how they're going to financially incentivize them to make sure that they keep up with these objectives, just like they did during COVID, financially incentivize them to kill people with remdesivir and ventilators. So they want to continue that cash cow and produce clinical infection control guidelines, which will then be going into every area of society, including schools, by the way, which are going to be issued with biodefense guidance. And they'll be indoctrinated on disease prevention, preparedness, response, recovery, mitigation, vaccination, testing, masking, ventilation, social distancing, cleaning, remote learning, all of those things they're going to indoctrinate your children with. And also, they say high quality educational resources about biological events in school settings, bearing in mind that they tell you that a biological event also includes someone telling the truth, which could cause harm to their agencies. Now, this is important for everyone to see. This is figure five. Source of biological risk by critical infrastructure sector. So they are saying that these are all the industries that face biological risks, therefore we need complete capture and control of them. And if you see, it covers absolutely every single facet of society, from communications to your energy supply to your information technology to nuclear reactors, commercial facilities, dams, emergency services, financial services, chemical, critical manufacturing, defense industrial, food and agriculture, government, healthcare, transport, water and waste. Water, what's left? What's left that isn't going to be captured? Nothing. And don't worry, they have a plan if you want to go off grid too, because they're coming for that. They talk about how, and this is really fascinating, they actually admit here that American Indian and Alaska Native tribes are sovereign entities with inherent authority to govern themselves. So they are not subject to these authorities. It's fascinating that they admit to that, which means that they are a saving grace. Maybe everyone should identify as a tribal person. I don't know. It's 2024, right? But basically, they do admit to the fact that these people are sovereign, not subject to their laws and nonsense. So they're going to do exactly what they've done in every single country, where they capture a few tribal leaders and then enforce it through those communities that way, because it requires their cooperation and their signing up to all of this. That's what the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples document says, which says that they really care about the rights of Indigenous people, but Article 46, actually you're subjected to the UN. Sorry, guys. And then they get them to agree to that, and all of a sudden their sovereignty's gone. Policymakers can bolster food and agro-biodefense by taking advantage of land grants, guys. So they're going to incentivize farmers and, policymakers are going to incentivize these people by, you know, giving them grants to essentially go along with all of this. We've already been seeing that with farmers allowing their land to be bought up. And this is the part that's really, really important. This is what people need to understand. They want to authorize a vaccines for adults program. This will be modeled on the vaccines for children program, which everyone knows. And they say, oh, well, I don't have to inject my child. No, at the moment, you still have some limited options of childcare or schools, perhaps, that will accept an unvaccinated child. But that's not going to be the case for much longer. But nonetheless, you still have those options and perhaps you'll have some schools that will take them. What this is doing, though, is linking your injection status to your Medicare and Medicaid services. And they say they want to expand access by uninsured adults to routine and biological event vaccines, which means that you don't get access to government services unless you are preemptively, forever, constantly injecting yourself. And I will go so far as to say that you will not have access eventually to your bank account if Biden successfully brings in the digital ID before the election. Biden. You will not have access to your bank account unless you routinely, that is the word here, routinely, ladies and gentlemen, that means often. Unless you often inject yourself with one of these injections that they've said is crucial for protecting us against any one of these 26 pathogen families. That is what they want to implement, a vaccine for adults program. It's not just one where you can't do certain activities. They want to lock you out of society for not doing, for not perpetually injecting yourself. Of course, there is a agro-biodefense agenda, which again, they keep saying, you know, we're going to implement this. We're going to vaccinate the lettuce, vaccinate your mushrooms, vaccinate the air, vaccinate you, vaccinate absolutely everything until everything is either dead or cyborgized. And we don't have to tell Congress about it until 180 days after we've done it. That is what it says. And they want to, you know, change the whole of agriculture. They want to also implement this new program instead of the current BioWatch program, one that has far more surveillance. And they say they want to deploy testing regularly, I guess, throughout the United States. And, of course, we know that their tests with the cycles turned up all the way will produce a false positive. You can test your left shoe and it'll come up positive for COVID. So that's coming, regular testing, regular vaccines, and they want plant disease diagnostics as well. So they're going to be swiping every leaf, I guess, and saying, ooh, this leaf has monkeypox. And on top of that, they go on to talk about how then they need to do environmental monitoring, and they talk about conserved regions as well. I'm going to very quickly mention Biden's UN 30 by 30 plan, where essentially 30% of the land belongs to the United Nations. He's already done that, by the way. But then you have the Council on Foreign Relations that says, well, it's actually 80%, guys. 80% belongs to us. And so that is all part of this agenda, which is why I go back to what Greg Reese was talking about with his clip on the hurricanes, the weather warfare, saying this place is no longer safe. Oh, we've just had a hurricane here. Mark my words, this is how they're going to do it. We've just had a hurricane here. This is now not safe. We need to conserve this land. This is now a conservation area. This is not safe for humans. You're going to have a pandemic if you go here. Oh, look at all the lithium. Wow, what a bonus. We're okay to go here. It's just not, you're not allowed. That's how it's going to go. And so they again mention domestic biological terrorism and warfare, which they consider mis- and disinformation to be. And what else did I want to mention here? Of course, utilizing the virtual environment, AI, we've already gone through that. A lot of talk about the EPA, a lot of talk about wildlife reservoirs and making sure that humans can't go into nature. Talk about working with the World Health Organization as well, how they've got to make sure that they go along with their recommendations, and also the World Bank, because the World Bank knows a lot about pandemics, guys, and biological warfare. So they're going to cooperate with whatever the World Bank says in order to do that. Now, I want to show you finally this scenario, which is very reminiscent of the COVID scenario of the past. And so this scenario, they say, well, this is going to happen. Think of it like a play, all right? Happening in the U.S. House of Representatives Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence and U.S. Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. They're saying that it is following a bioterrorist attack that is expected in July of 2025. And don't forget the NTI documents that predicted the monkeypox outbreak exactly when it happened as well, guys. Keep that in mind. So July 4th, 2025. They say that I call this first hearing of the joint inquiry to order. 9 weeks ago, some nation or terrorist group, we still do not know who, attacked the nation's capital and other U.S. cities with biological weapons as we celebrated Independence Day. The infectious agent they used killed at least 280,000 Americans, infected 400,000, in addition to the 200,000 dead and 800,000 sickened animals. Great reason to kill all the animals, right? These numbers will increase as the disease spreads. They're saying that we are now hearing that the terrorists conducted smaller scale attacks in American cities and localities prior to July 4 to test our defenses and gauge our responses. They went largely unnoticed. Laboratory tests confirmed the Nipah virus caused the disease, but we still do not know what methods our adversaries used to infect humans and spread the disease among livestock in rural communities. I want to draw to your attention, everyone, that Moderna is currently conducting a clinical trial for Nipah, which is scheduled to be completed next year, 2025. So it's really interesting that after Moderna finishes their Nipah clinical trial, which is, by the way, a hemorrhagic in nature, majority of the 12 pandemics that the World Health Organization say are going to happen are hemorrhagic in nature. So as soon as Moderna is expected to do their clinical trial, all of a sudden we have a Nipah pandemic we've got to deal with. Interesting. Animals and people sick for more than a month, so on and so forth. Mortality rate of over 40%. They say that our failure to eliminate the vulnerabilities revealed during the COVID-19 pandemic led to this. Our failure to conduct sufficient biological intelligence activities is the reason for this. Our failure to achieve early detection, rapidly identify and recognize its occurrence in livestock, rapidly identify the disease in people, consistently fund public healthcare, preparedness, so on and so forth. So the way that I see this, ladies and gentlemen, is that it is way too much of a coincidence that Moderna's got the Nipah clinical trial ending next year. It's way too much of a coincidence that this reads like a policy book that is going to be implemented upon another tragedy, or perhaps ahead of another tragedy. But I just don't think that the populations are going to buy this type of surveillance, regular injections, so on and so forth, unless a really major event happens. Although I will say, if they implement mandatory digital ID, it will be much easier to achieve all of this, because whilst people say, you know, okay, I could leave my job during COVID, I found another one, you can't find another bank account when none of the banks will give you a bank account without a digital ID. So people have to be prepared to live outside of that system. In my opinion, digital ID is the biggest thing that the US has to resist to ensure their ability to not be perpetually injected. Decouple from the WHO, decouple from the UN. There are two bills right now to leave the UN in the House and in the Senate. You can go to preventgenocide2030.org for more information. Dr. Reba Labo has been on with me talking about that many, many times. No digital ID. We have to fight for the First Amendment and freedom of speech in order to be able to challenge these things. And we have to keep InfoWars on the air, because right now I am reaching more people than I would if I just, say, did a live stream on my Telegram channel, for example. There are more diverse audiences listening to this platform right now than they would be on just Instagram, for example. This is a platform that brings some of the most important information in the world to one place to be able to warn people about what's coming next. Tomorrow's news today is prolific, as is whilst the other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. It's actually prolific. It's true. So we need to do whatever we can to keep this amazing, amazing organization afloat and keep these people on air. I'm asking everyone to go to alexjonesstore.com or infowarsstore.com today. Find a way to support these people, whatever you can do, and share this everywhere. Continue to share the information. Continue to share the video clips. Tell people about InfoWars. Tell people about reports that you've seen that are important. And I am honored to have been with you all today. I'll see you tomorrow morning again back on the American Journal. God bless.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the alexjonesstore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you, and I'll take action.
America is waking up to the sad and painful fact that we've been under a multinational, globalist, deep state intelligence agency controlled coup for decades in this country. They didn't have full control 30, 40 years ago, but they're really attempting full control now, and that's where we are. And InfoWars has engaged in the best long-term analysis of the enemy operation and predicted the resistance movement would form against it and the fact that we would have major successes against the enemy, but they would then double, triple, quadruple down. That's where we are now. So it's more important than ever that InfoWars stay on the air. I just want to thank you all for your support and spread the word. It's more important than ever that we get funding. We're trying to make it easier for you to fund us by simply going to InfoWarsStore.com and getting great products that enrich you and your family's lives. I want to just encourage you all to not forget that without you, we won't be here. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com today, and I thank you.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.